This week, the most important video gaming mechanic has been revealed. Prepare yourself for a feline familiar in Cat Love and the forthcoming Assassin's Creed Origins. There's plenty more news tonight, so stay tuned for more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice, and hopefully some blue screen.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio tonight with episode number 703 of our show for this October the 8th of 2017. I know it's been a crazy week with a lot of really horrible stuff out there in the world, so I hope we can take your mind off it for a couple hours tonight while we talk about some video games here in our studio, N7, and located in Sacramento, California, with me, Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E, and joining me as she usually does, right over there, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you, Jamie?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like your hair. You have this, and I know it's a radio show, so I have to describe it, but she's got, like, this purple on top, kind of fading down into black. It's like the fade.
It's purple to purple.
Jamie's in
it's
the
like
fade.
It's like fuchsia to purple.
It looks black, but it's also kind of dark in studio because trying to keep the heat down a little bit. Okay, I can kind of see it.
Yeah,
so,
in purple.
Yeah, radio. You'll just have to... You know,
take our word for it.
Exactly.
Use your imagination.
That's right. Use your imagination. It'll take you very far. Well, we'll check in with Jamie and her gaming week in just a minute, but I want to talk to Techmaster Loki as well.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Loki?
I'm good.
Hey, everybody's here this week.
Yay.
What a nice reunion
and
we're having
relatively
tonight.
Plague-free.
That's right. Relatively. Hopefully everybody stays disease-free for a while here. How are you doing, Loki?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah?
I'm full.
Full of what?
Hamburger. Yeah, because they opened up a Wayback Burgers, I guess.
Never heard of that.
I guess it's a nationwide chain, but it's a burger place. They make like fresh burgers and that type of stuff, uh-huh. And it's really good.
Do Sherman and Peabody deliver it from ancient Greece?
How come we don't have restaurant sponsors on this show? All these people you give a shout out to don't give us money. So now you need to say something bad about your experience.
And these pitas are brought to you by Sara Lee.
Well, the fries were just kind of okay. They're all right. They weren't like fantastic.
Thank you. All right. We also have a special guest in studio. I do want to, of course, always acknowledge the ever-present guest that's on our show, the chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network of VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Again, that's VOGNetwork.com. And if you are listening live, you can join our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. We're going to get into some gaming chat here in just a minute. But we do have a special guest here in studio. Actually, Jamie, do you want to introduce somebody that the audience has been asking to have back? So, Jamie?
Some kid we picked up in a back alley from a free candy truck.
Stop.
Picked up from a candy truck.
So welcome back to the show, everybody.
Hi, Julian.
Julian is back this week. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Now, for some folks listening to the show who might not know you, how old are you, Julian?
I'm 10 years old.
You're 10 years old. When's your birthday?
April 27th.
Okay, so you're like 10 and a half, almost. Almost. All right, getting close. So you did not come from a candy van, but what kind of car do you want to drive someday?
I have no idea. How am I supposed to know? I'm 10 years old.
I just got told.
He's going to have a Testarossa because he's going to be super rich and famous one day for his wit and humor.
I just wanted mom to be thinking about that's only 6 years away to start thinking about all that stuff. But anyway, all right. It's a video game show, Julian. Hopefully you've never heard it because it's very disgusting sometimes.
He's been on the show.
I know he's
heard us.
It's a joke.
And we can say whatever we want to around him.
It's a joke. What types of video games do you like to play, Julian?
I like to play puzzle fantasy sci-fi games. I like to play puzzle games, fantasy games, sci-fi games. I find those games the most entertaining for me.
Okay, when you first said puzzle fantasy sci-fi, I was like, wow, did he find a game that's like all three of those things? Because that would be really cool, like a game like that. I don't know. Have you ever played Puzzle Quest? That's kind of puzzle and fantasy. A little bit.
Well, no, puzzle, I've never heard of that.
Puzzle
game.
Sci-fi. That could be Portal.
Okay, yeah, Portal. Well, what kind of do you have some titles, some games that you like to play?
I like to play Undertale.
Okay, oh, that's a good
game. Spore, game about evolution.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, Spore.
I like Pirate 101.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of games that I play.
That's okay. I find myself in that position every week on this show. Like, what did I play this past week? So Undertale. Undertale is, like, hugely popular. I don't know if you know, but, like, even people that are, like, four times your age enjoy playing Undertale. And they just, do you play it on the PC or do you play it on PlayStation or?
PC. And about a month ago, it was Undertale's birthday.
It was whose birthday?
About a month ago, it was Undertale's second birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that. So Undertale was 2 years old as of... Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you do anything to celebrate?
At daycare, we played a game and everyone had to be an Undertale character.
So is Undertale...
I'm detecting he might have been Sans.
Wait, is...
Of course I was Sans. I'm going to be...
I don't know. Is Undertale, like, because I don't really know. Like, the reason why you're here, you're kind of like our ambassador to the next generation of gamers. So is Undertale, like, really popular with other, like, boys and girls your age?
Very. I know tons of people at school that play Undertale a whole lot. And some of them are, like... Hashtag pacifist run, and then other people are like, kill them all, genocide run is so fun, I love shooting sands in the face.
Wait, 10-year-olds have hashtag wars? That's just something I learned. I always thought that was something unique to RuPaul's Drag Race, is when they would, you know, put in the corner, you know, hashtag, you know, Shantae you stay, or whatever it is going on there. But okay, so hashtag pacifist run versus hashtag genocide run. All right.
On the next Splatfest.
Do you play Splatoon? I like that game.
I've heard of people that play Splatoon, but I don't really play Splatoon.
That's okay. There's a lot of games to play. Like, there's just you could play a different video game every day and you'd never play them all. That's the reality. So
One of the reasons I think Part 101 is a great and also a fun game is one of the questions it asks you when you build your character is it goes like this. So, you're an orphan. How'd your parents die?
That sounds kind of morbid, Julian. I don't know. you like that?
I chose.
That's okay.
I chose that my parents were eaten by a sky squid.
Okay, I'm sure that makes your mother feel great to hear that. A sky squid. All right. I got to go. So I'm looking at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because I don't know if you know, but this is actually like on the internet and people are listening to it right now. And so there's some feedback going on right now. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf is suggesting he's too old for Splatoon and that's for babies. That might be the reason why you haven't played Splatoon. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says, is he looking forward to Wolfenstein the New Colossus this month? Are there any games you're looking forward to? Maybe if not that one, is there anything like you got your eye on? Like, ooh, I want to play that when it comes out.
The new Dragon Age game that's supposed to come out. I'm playing after that one comes out. I want to start to play the series and then play that one.
You are definitely your mother's child, Ike. that's great. What do you like about Dragon Age?
I think it's a cool game. It's fantasy, like I said that I liked fantasy games. Mm-hmm. It also has a great story, and it's just a fun game that a lot of people also like, too.
Yeah.
Black Wolf would like to follow up with that. Who is he going to romance?
No one.
Because you're 10. You don't need to worry
hashtag
about that
stuff. Hashtag celibacy run. I broke Rob.
Rob is now turning bright fuchsia. He matches my hair. Well done, Julian. Well done. Show's over. Going home. Bye.
Just when I'm dead, turn the show over
hashtag
to Julian.
Hashtag red, red Rob.
It's done. All right. Let's see. I'm looking in chat. Brad from Pop Culture says, damn it, Loki, I just spit water at the monitor. I love it. A lot of people taking surprise in our chat to the fact that Undertale is kind of the game that people play in the schoolyard, and that Undertale is the thing that people play at school. What are there other games that kids like to, like, are there other, like, video game, like, playground games that kids get into?
Sometimes when they're supposed to be playing, this was in fourth grade, when kids were supposed to be on Moby Max, people would sneak onto Prodigy and play the Wizarding Math game of fantasy.
Wait, Prodigy?
Prodigy?
Wait,
Prodigy still exists?
Prodigy still exists? That was me when I was like 12, was Prodigy. I wonder if it's the same thing or if it's like somebody else has the name now.
It's a video game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, when I was
entertainment.
Yeah. When I was younger, it was games and a bunch of other stuff too. But the games were probably the best.
And
part.
And special chat rooms. Wink, wink.
Exactly. That sort of thing. So.
Well, of course, you know, I met Dan through AOL back in the Sailor Moon chat room. Remember that, Becky? Oh, sorry. Yeah. we had an eye roll.
So do you prefer to game on PC versus like PlayStation 4 and Xbox? Like, are you in the great PC versus console debate? Where do you stand?
I definitely like PC more because it has a much wider variety of games,
mm-hmm.
and it has a lot more things you can do on it, and it's just, I think it's better, just much better. Because it can play games that are 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit, and even 64-bit.
It can do it all. It can, and then if it can't do it anymore, you just put a new card in it, and now it can do it. That's how those PCs work. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so sometimes...
Don't listen to them, Little Mac.
Sometimes we get really lucky here at OLR, and sometimes people that actually make games listen to our show. Have you ever tried to make a game, Julian? Actually, I'm really curious about that. Have you ever tried to make a game? Like, do they teach you any type of, like, programming in school now, or...?
I'm planning that I want to eventually make a game,
uh-huh.
but I'm taking coding classes
wow.
right now so that I can learn to program so I can eventually make my own video game.
Do you know what they call the? Do you know what language they're teaching you? Do you know what it's called? Do you know if they're teaching you like Unity or
the language? I actually know three languages right
okay.
now. One of them is English.
Okay. Good. That's a good one to know. Yeah.
The second one. Is the one that my mom and other people taught me. It's called Pig Latin.
Oh, okay.
And the third one is the one that me and my friends made up. Lee Latin is where you it's pretty much Pig Latin, but instead of saying Ulian J, you'd say Ulian Jalay.
So programming language. Alohe. I'm trying.
Oh, video game language.
Well, I was fascinated by the Pig Latin stuff, too. But, yeah, sadly, you can't build a video game in Pig Latin, at least not yet.
I'll do Wingdings as the font. Just kidding. And maybe work some Comic Sans, just kidding, into it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to put him in the freezer. It was nice knowing you, Julian. Get in the freezer.
Well, that's a little cold of you to say.
I will lock you in the meat locker.
Okay. I would like to apologize for that. That's entirely my fault.
Thank you, Mom. Is that where Julian gets the puns?
Becky is the mistress of dad jokes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Yeah, going into chat, MXC says, I am dying. Come on, Nolga says, someone hit a gong. SG100 Matt says, did he find Drew's joke book? I think so.
We didn't flush it. We had to press it between wax sheets so that it wouldn't dissolve.
All right,
because, as we all know, it's made out of toilet paper.
So as far as, like, making the video games, you're not sure, like, what the name of the tool is that you're using to make video games, or?
I don't know tool I'm going to use for making a video game. I know what I could call it.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you is I was going to say we have people that listen to this show that are, you know, we're lucky that we do have actually game makers listen to this show. I don't know if you know, but Orange Lounge Radio, someone actually made a game, actually two games based on ideas that we put out there. So I was going to say, Julian, maybe the game makers out there want to know, what game do you want to see? What game do you want to play?
I saw this 8-bit, 16-bit game that a 14-year-old game. It was a past game that one of my favorite YouTubers played. He's extremely British. And it was called The Mark of Oxen, and that kind of inspired me to make a game like that, but not 8-bit.
So you want to do a modern version of that?
But maybe, but I want it to be kind of based on that, but not really just make the whole entire game again, but just 64-bit or something. I want to base my game on that, and I want to change the dialogue. I want the same fighting style as it, but I'm going to change a lot of the things. I just want to base my game on that.
All right. And sometimes you can go back and you can reinvent an idea and make it better. And, you know, that might make like a really solid game. I think a ton of people are trying to do that to Minecraft, but nothing's really stuck yet. I think Minecraft is still kind of the big game in that genre. Nobody's really topped it yet. So maybe someday. Maybe someday.
And me, the 10-year-old, will make something way better than that stupid 14-year-old can make.
That's right. Call him out. You call him out right here on OLR. I love it.
Julian's new handle is going to be Shade Tree.
All right. All right. Well, I do, Julian, I have to move on to some other topics here shortly to get into our show. But is there anything that you want to tell the gamers out there listening to Orange Lounge Radio?
I can't think of anything. I don't know.
That's okay. I usually can't either. But hey, do me a favor, since you know you are a kid and I'm not. You know, sometimes I notice out there, there's a lot of like negativity about video games out there. And I don't know about you, but I think video games are pretty rad. So I like to try and keep it all positive when we talk about video games. You know, sometimes there's a little thing here and there where you might say, I wish they'd do this better because this makes me really mad. But I don't like to be mad all the time. So can you help me make sure that like 10-year-olds today are gonna like keep it positive with video games and keep this industry fun?
I don't think I need to tell them to play video games. They're probably already playing at 36 hours a day.
That is true. Just as long as they're having fun doing it. That's the important part.
They're definitely having fun doing it if they're playing it 36 hours a day.
Yes, I should have thought of that, yes.
Well, if they're playing it 36 hours a day, they're also traveling through time as well, so more props to them.
They're doing something right. Let's see, Brad from Pod Culture in chat says, Julian will get his game done before Loki. That is probably true.
Yes, that is probably
true. And that joke was like, I saw that joke before we even had the
car. Oh, so you have the time machine as well.
Apparently, well, I just have, it's predictable joke is predictable, so.
And look, you also have, you know, his Tingle costume made and invent the time turner.
You know, funny enough, actually, that you mentioned the Tingle costume because there was, what was it? They did a new content cop that was popular on YouTube, and Ian actually wears a morph suit Tingle costume. Like, well, there it is. Apparently it does exist, so.
That is true.
I guess it's glad to know that it is out there.
Somebody beat you to it. One more question in our chat room. ActDeft over at live.vognetwork.com wants to know, when are we giving Julian his own podcast? Any time he wants to do one, we'll help him get one together. So he'll just have to get some friends together and figure out what they want to talk about.
Probably when I'm an adult.
Yes, let's not rush anything. Yes, let's not rush anything.
So what you need to do is you need to get into, like, if you like toys and games and stuff like that, you start a toy unboxing channel. Then it's a never-ending cycle because you get views and you get...
You know what Julian just told you? He's going to do it when he's good and ready. Right now, he's going to enjoy being a kid. Is that
exactly,
right, Julian?
Exactly, but you get free toys.
Yeah exactly.
I'm missing the point here.
This is Julian's show, not your show. If you want to do a free toy show or whatever to get toys, then you go right ahead and start one.
If
you're an adult.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Right. I'm not sure if it's legal for me to have my own show yet. Is it legal?
Yeah,
Well, that's true. I know there's four rolls that have their own YouTube channel.
I would say as long as your mom is aware of what you're doing, that's, I think, okay. She's got to approve, or, you know, as long as somebody approves.
She'll never know. I'll make my show in the sewer with my friends.
Oh, you're a Ninja Turtle now.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a shell. I also speak English.
Yeah. Yes.
We can make you green.
All right. Let's get into some of the gaming topics from this past week. And Julian, if you do want to jump in at any time, just, you know, shake Jamie and let her know you want the mic. All right. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into our gaming weeks, you know, something that happened this past week is the Nintendo World Championships. Actually, that just happened, what, like, was it yesterday or the day before? It just happened.
I saw something on it. I was like, I thought that happened
yesterday.
Ago, but...
Well, no, the qualifiers, but the big event, like the finals, was yesterday. Oh. Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people, Saturday is a weird
day to do it. They advertised it so well.
I know, right? Well, so it was yesterday, and they had it in Manhattan at the Grand Ballroom, and it was on YouTube and Twitch, but they also showed it on Disney XD in that DXP segment that they have on the Disney Kids channel. Or, I'm sorry, it's now all Disney XD or whatever it's called. So they actually showed it on TV. So that's something, that the Nintendo Championships are actually being shown on TV. So what happened is that there was, I guess there was like a single elimination tournament, and you had like two brackets. So once you got eliminated, you went to the underground, and otherwise you were in the above ground. Well, anyway, some of the games that they had to play. Let's see. In the above ground, stage one was there was a relay between The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in a shield surfing race, a high score challenge in the home run contest of Smash Brothers for Wii U, and a race in Metroid Samus Returns. Okay, so the top 16 went on to stage two, and that was 2 8-player matches in Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. Stage three was a Grand Prix of two races in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Stage four was a best of three match in Splatoon, and then the final four played one versus one matches in ARMS. Meanwhile, in the underground, it was completely different games. Stage one was a high score challenge in Balloon Fight, yep, 1985 from the NES. Then stage two was a high score challenge in a game called Bird and Beans, which I never played, but apparently it was inspired by a WarioWare Inc. game. Donkey Kong Country Returns was stage three. Stage four was Tetris for the Game Boy. That's pretty cool. And then the final underground stage was Mario Party 2, some of the mini games. So you had the contestant from the underground and the contestant from the above ground. They met in the final challenge, which was Super Mario Maker was the first finals game. Super Mario Brothers Deluxe. Mario Odyssey was the big finish at the end. Of course, they played a stage that nobody has seen before. And I think we kind of all knew that this whole thing was just a promotion for Mario Odyssey, right?
It's a whole promotion for Nintendo stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, they had a lot of newer games in there. And it all got screen time on Disney, you know, of all things. So, but hey, I mean... That's come a long way. I don't remember the 1990 championships being on TV. Was it? I think it might have been like covered on TV, but I don't remember it like actually being on TV. And then the 2015 was all during E3, so it was kind of picked up as a part of that. But yeah, so there you go. The final winner of the whole event was Thomas G. And actually, the runner-up was the 2015 champion, John Numbers. So that's still not bad, though, to win 2 years ago and then be the runner-up this year is still pretty good. So there it is, Nintendo World Championships. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Is the Nintendo World Championship something that Nintendo should be doing regularly, or was this kind of a non-factor?
It's all right. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a fun little hype machine.
It's just not – I don't think it has the same draw as it did, like, you know, back when we were growing up. I mean, it's just kind of – now it's very obvious that it's kind of a Nintendo –
Commercial.
And it's like, oh, you're the best at, like, Nintendo games. Who cares? I mean, no one really... That's what it kind of seems like. But it's fine. It's cool to, like, see the new games and stuff. I thought last year's was a little bit better, though. Like, especially when... I think that was the Nintendo World Championships where they did, like, the blind runs of, like, some of the Mario Maker levels. That was a good way to show off Mario Maker.
It was.
I mean, nowadays, though, people do Mario Maker runs all the time. And it's like, I don't know.
Julian, what do you think?
I have a question.
Okay.
What is the, whatever it's called, the Nintendo Championships or whatever it's
called. Yeah, the Nintendo World Championships.
What is that?
I've never heard of it. That's a great question. I guess
it's
kind of like the Olympics, or it's like a tournament, but it's all Nintendo. So it's like a big Nintendo tournament, but it's all those games I just named. It's not one game. You have to be good at every Nintendo game in order to win.
The one that I knew the best that you named on the list was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I've wanted that game since it came out, but I don't want to have to buy the Nintendo Switch for it.
Do you have a Wii U?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, we're probably not going to buy a Wii U.
That's all right. That's kind of pointless
at this point.
You let the games you want accumulate, and then someday when you do get a Switch, maybe, you know, someday way, way down the line, you can get all these games that you've been wanting to play, and then it's like, oh, you'll be busy for the next year. So do you think you'd want to compete in something like the Nintendo World Championships? Is that something you want to do?
No, I'll stick with 1v1 PvP in my Pyro 101 world.
Okay, fair enough. Wait a minute. So you mean if I go online and I play 1v1 PvP in some of these games, I might be playing against you?
Yes, and also don't want your level 10. Everyone who's level 70 will harvest you and beat you again and again to get a higher rank in PvP.
That's not very nice.
I know.
Level
70 people harvest on the lower level people.
They need to stop hating on the lower level. How are you supposed to get to a higher level if they keep picking on you?
Perhaps if the developer put some actual game balancing in it.
pretty much what you do is you ban him for no reason. Just kidding. You don't do that. That'll just make him extremely mad.
Now, some of the chatters are suggesting, come on, Noel Gus in our chat room says, someone show him that 80s movie with Fred Savage. I think you're talking about the Wizard.
My Pet Monster?
I think that he has to play Super Mario Brothers 3. So maybe...
I played it before.
Okay, so you played Mario Brothers 3. So I don't remember what the Wizard is rated, but I can't imagine it was worse than PG. So, you know, maybe that's a movie you should... Because that's what was out when I was 12, and that's when they hyped Super Mario Brothers 3. It was like the first time the world got to see it was in this movie. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
It's probably really corny now in retrospect, though, because a lot of 80s movies...
It was corny back then.
A lot of 80s movies are pretty corny. Do you ever watch movies from the 80s?
I don't know. I don't ask. Hey, Mom, when I'm going to see a movie, when I go see a movie, I don't go to my mom and say, hey, is this movie from the 1980s, 1981, 1982, 1983? And then...
That's fair. You don't judge.
I don't do that.
You don't judge. That's fair. All right.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Karate Kid.
Okay. Oh, that's the only one you need to see. Let's be honest.
Mom, I want to see the new Star Wars. You're going to watch the old Mario Brothers and you're going to like it. Okay?
All right. Let's move on before we get into the news this week. Let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we've been playing this week. Actually, while it's on my mind, though, quickly before I go to Dark Sakura, I do want to say, while Julian and his mom are still here, I do want to say I did notice that they brought a gift to the studio this week. So I guess this is like a belated celebration cake of some sort, I believe. So you actually baked a pumpkin spice cake, am I right?
I did. I love you, Rob.
I love you too. Anybody who makes me food, that's an amazing gesture. So I want to thank you very much for that.
You are quite welcome.
That pumpkin spice cake. I
also
can't wait to try a piece.
Oh my God.
What?
Trixie and Katya.
Okay.
I've been doing the happy dance since last night, okay?
Has nothing to do with games.
No, but...
Although my understanding is, I've been seeing it on Twitter, I guess Trixie is doing something on Twitch TV, like right now, helping raise money for GamerX and that whole that they're doing back east, so that's pretty cool.
And Trixie did host at GamerX.
Yeah, that was where I met her.
The cosplay.
Yeah.
Which so. I met her out of drag.
Yeah. So she, because she was actually hanging out at the parties and stuff.
Yep.
All right. All right, well, let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Semi-eventful. I'm working on the DerpyCon guide again, and this time I've kind of put my foot down on due dates, so I actually have some time to do stuff. And so I am playing Danganronpa V3, which I haven't been able to stream. I'm not going to be able to stream it until I get... until I get the book done, But Danganronpa V3 is going to be up for stream in a couple of weeks. You know, once there, I'm sure that spoilers have been spoiled, you know, in a very stinky, spoilery manner. I am actually playing Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer again, because I love that game. I'm playing Idol Pouring, which is my handheld Ragnarok online. Miitomo, Pokemon Go. Crap, I played something else too. Oh yeah, I'm kind of addicted to video solitaire again.
That's random.
Because like I do it while listening to stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So that I can keep my hands busy.
Yeah.
And I pay better attention to it if I'm... Because I'm a very kinesthetic type of learner.
Some people knit or crochet. Some people play video solitaire. It's fine.
Yeah. Huh. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. We're not wait, I take that back. Because we got the thing.
I was about to call you out on something I've been seeing all over Facebook.
We got the thing.
So after last week's show and that whole
where
talk
I said
about,
I wasn't going to actively seek one.
A Super Nintendo Classic is what she's talking about.
Yes, because we have a friend who gave us the hookup as we got our NES Mini. So it's not an active seeking. It's a, hey, if you get one.
Okay, so it fell from the heavens onto your lap.
Yes,
so you
it
were
did,
like, if I must, I will take this. Even though there's people everywhere fighting in the streets and on eBay for one of these, somehow one magically...
Well, fuck them. They're not me.
Somehow one magically fell into your lap, and you said, okay, if I must, I'll play the Super Nintendo Classic.
So we played... of course, the first thing we played on it was Star Fox, so that we could unlock Star Fox 2.
Yep.
And then Dan beat Star Fox 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because
it's... But you can beat that real fast,
yeah,
right?
You can.
Kind of different ways.
But
you, play
you have to, you know, go through and prevent, like, Corneria from being destroyed and
sure.
all this stuff. And I'd remembered playing, like, a ROM way back, but it was more like a level select version, so it was really not very polished.
It was rough, yeah.
Yeah. But I still remembered the level warp trick in the first Star Fox, where you're near the second level, you go into the asteroid.
Oh, yeah, you shoot the face, face or something?
Not quite. You have these rotating, there's five of them.
Yeah.
And the middle one's gold. You shoot each of those and fly through the debris.
Uh-huh.
And then slightly to the left, you're going to get one meteor that has a face on it and you run into it.
Right.
And it's like a really, it looks like the moon from Majora's Mask.
It does.
It does look like that.
It does.
And then you get to do like the skip to like.
That's when you go to the black hole.
The black hole, and then you go to like Sector Y or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of those sectors anyway. And then we played Super Mario World last night.
Uh-huh.
A little off and on. I'm not as good at that game as I used to be. Although I did like some, you know, just a few things on instinct, you know, like flipping the P block and taking it to the, you know, all that. We actually got to like through the whole vanilla dome area, you know, just me and Dan. And he's been playing Super Mario Kart, which that game makes me violently ill.
Why is that? Just the rough
some
motion?
Of the Mode 7 games, like F-Zero, will do that to me as well. You know, it's also why I actually have the same problem with some of the Sonic bonus stages, like the ones where you run and hit the balls.
Even I get like, that'll do it. Stop running back and forth. Yeah, it's
well
crazy.
And the bonus level where you're in like the bouncy house with all the blocks and everything.
That's my one complaint about Sonic Mania, is that you run into those bonus stages like half the game. I mean, you can skip them, but it's like when I was you just instinctively keep going into the bonus round. I'm like, all I'm doing is a stupid bonus round.
One thing that's a little disappointing is that the ROM for Super Mario World is the cartridge ROM and not the All-Stars one that had the different Luigi.
Hmm.
And it certainly isn't the Japanese one, because you can't eat the dolphins.
Right, right.
Which you can only do in the Japanese one.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get Dan to set aside some time with me so that we can play through Secret of Mana.
Okay.
I also played the Kirby All-Stars.
Uh-huh.
I just sat down and played the first one until I got, you know, my hand started hurting, because I think my ganglion cyst is coming back and it makes me sad.
So you're enjoying it despite, and Bobby is saying very tongue-in-cheek in our chat room, what happened to, I don't need it because I have all the games on it anyway.
Because I didn't technically go out and buy it. Dan sent me a picture and said, look what we have.
But now that you have it in your house, it was kind of like, oh, this is fun to go back and play all these games again?
Well, the thing that I actually specifically like about it is playing it on our 4K TV without lag.
Okay.
Because we can't hook up.
And to be fair, you did call that out last week. It's like the reason why you would want to get one.
Exactly. And that, and I actually don't think I own either of those Kirby games now that I think about it.
Okay.
I don't think that we own those. So it was nice to go back and play a game I haven't touched in, you know, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the rest of them I've definitely played more recently than that.
Right.
Shoot, even Star Fox 2 I've played more recently than that. But it was neat, you know. It's so tiny. It's cute. I took a picture of it on like a real SNES, and it was adorable. And but the thing that is kind of neat is that you peel back the controller ports to plug in the little USB controllers. And so that's pretty neat. But I think that the primary thing is just that it makes it easy for some of these games just to play them in the front room where we don't have that lag. You know, imagine trying to play Street Fighter with at least 1 to 2 seconds of lag.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do it.
It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat is sticking up for you saying a lady can change her mind.
It's my prerogative. I can do what I want to do.
That's right.
Nobody can tell me what to do. And I just quoted Bobby Brown.
I know. Or Britney, depending on what decade you were growing up in. All right. Well, Julian, I got to check in with you, buddy. I know you play the Pirate 101. Is there anything this week that you've been playing specifically?
Pirate 101?
It's like your fave, huh?
Yeah, I've been playing the game since, six or seven?
Okay. So you've been playing this for, like, half your life almost.
I played Undertale this week a little.
Okay.
Minecraft.
We need to get you on Danganronpa.
What's that?
Is that a game that he should play? It's got some themes in it that are a little dark. Well, I ain't the... Hey.
Do you know who his mother is?
I ain't the parent or the BFF parent, so that's y'all's decision, but okay.
No, he probably shouldn't play Danganronpa.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
I just thought of a great pun. So, what?
Oh boy!
What do you call what is the video game that everyone is arguing about in the neighborhood?
What is the video game that everybody's arguing about in the neighborhood? I don't know what.
Street Fighter.
Good night, everybody. We'll be back to do this again in 7 days. I hope you all have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio.
All right, anyway. No, it's good. That was good. You're going to go places, kid. Pretty soon you're going to have to charge people a tutoring minimum.
I'm just having a Zorak quote going in my head. Somebody's better slap a muzzle on that scaled down piece of evil.
I just have a request. Someday when this show inevitably ends, because this show is going to have to end someday.
Never.
I want Julian to send the show off. That's my one regret. I don't even care if he's like 23. He's got to come back and send the show off appropriately. That's my one request. Fair? Is that a deal?
I don't know. It's 13 years in the future. It could happen. It could not happen. I could be dead by then, but let's not
get morbid, kid. All right. I should hope not. You're going to have a long, full life. All right. Anyhow. You all right?
No, I just was warning him not to pull the
mic
too hard.
Sorry, the mic doesn't have a lot of slack on it to get all the way over there. So, all right. Anyway.
And we're not slackers. Ha ha.
All right. Let's see. How about Loki? Loki, how was your gaming week? What did you play?
I played Cuphead. That was kind of the most of what I played this week.
Is it as hard as advertised? Because I haven't started it yet.
It's not a super hard
game. Did you sit there and scream at it? Like,
no.
I just imagine you doing?
No, I didn't scream at it because it's just like playing like an old... See, you have to understand, when people say it's a hard game now, it's because they're older and they're not as skilled as they used to be when they were younger, like playing games from like the 80s and stuff. It's about that difficulty. It's just very technical. So you just... It's not unfair. You just have to be precise in what you do. That's it.
I have not played Cuphead yet, but it is sitting waiting to be streamed after tonight's show, me playing for the first time.
It's like
so.
Gorgeous game. I mean, I really like it. So I haven't played too much of it yet, but I do enjoy it. So definitely worth picking up. Then, of course, I actually went to the store, and I saw that they had a Mario Odyssey demo at the kiosk, so I got to try that out. And I got to say that playing the Switch with, like, the Joy-Con separated is the most fucking uncomfortable thing I've had to deal with. I fucking hate that so much. But I think like a pro controller or like it actually docked into the screen or something might be a little bit better. But it was just weird. I just did not like it. It wasn't as comfortable as like the Wii Remote in Nunchuck. I think it's because they tried to make those so small. But other than that, I mean, Mario Odyssey is a gorgeous game. I mean, I would love to pick it up, but $400, man, that's pretty expensive. So what? $300 or $400, I don't know. Still a few hundred dollars.
The games are starting to add up, though. Like, you know, the things that are worth buying on the Switch, I would think, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a good console, I guess, but, like, would I really pay all that money for Mario Odyssey? Maybe. I don't know. It's just not right now. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
And then aside from that, just I've been playing a little bit of the... Office Space idle clicker game, which they keep adding crap to it to make it more kind of grindy, and I'm not quite liking it. I did hit 100 the other week or whatever, so I'm kind of done with the game, but then they added more to it, so you kind of start all over, and then there's like four buildings that you're trying to go through instead of just the one. And I don't know, it just seems very like cash grab. It's a free-to-play game, so it's supposed to be very obvious cash grab, but it's just kind of like, each week, let's find ways to screw the player over even more. It's, I don't know, it's just kind of, I'm not playing it as much. I'm kind of going that route that I went with Pokemon and Ingress, where it's like kind of slowly phasing it out.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right.
That's it.
All right, well, my gaming week, I haven't played an awful lot because I guess I can confess about this on the show. I haven't done one of these games in like 8 or 9 years, but one of my friends from back in the day like tried to convince me like, "Hey Rob, you should play my game that's like one of these like online like Big Brother type of competitions, like the TV show, but it's all on Facebook." So, and before you judge me for this type of stuff, like it's no different than like role playing on forums or anything like that.
You were
that.
Doing
it's
this in LiveJournal.
Yeah, I was doing this on
back in the day.
That was the last time I did it. Was back in the day when LiveJournal was still around. So one of my friends that I met in those days was like, he'd been bugging me about it for a while, but I was like, no, I can't do it because I'm doing 4 podcasts a week. No, I can't do it because I'm doing 2 podcasts a week. And now it's like, oh, well, I guess I only have the one show. So as long as nothing big happens on Sundays, I guess I can do it. So that's been taking a lot of my time, though, because that's a very, you know, social type of thing where you have to talk to a lot of people. So, yeah, that's been taking up a lot of my time. But I have been trying to do a few video games here and there, and namely the Super Nintendo Classic, of course. I finally had to plug that in and play that, getting that Friday. So like Jamie, the first thing I did was play Star Fox so I could unlock Star Fox 2. And
yep.
When I played Star Fox 2, I have to admit, I was kind of like, man, it's really not that good.
Yeah, that's kind of what when I was looking at it. I was like, yeah, it doesn't look that
the
great.
The walker areas are bizarre.
Here's the thing. If that game had come out at that time, it would have been awesome. But the technology with the FX chip and that type of 3D gaming, it hasn't aged gracefully. You know, it's still very polygon, and you really notice like the low frame rate on these games. And look, I'm not razzing it because, you know, that was what it was in the 90s, and at that time it blew our minds because we hadn't seen anything like it. But it just, I actually would argue that something like Super Mario Kart has aged better than Star Fox has, I think.
I do like the dogfight levels, though.
Uh-huh.
Those were pretty neat.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of the things I'd always wanted in Star Fox from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Dark Tetsuya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, seems like most reviewers are comparing it to today's games. Yeah, I heard about that, like, some big website gave it a 5 out of 10 and stuff. I'm not sure Star Fox 2 can be reviewed appropriately today, like it's a brand new game in 2017. I mean, it's a bonus.
I don't even know why it's necessary to review the game, but
that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, you could, I think it's fine to do like a review. Well, if it's your website, you do whatever the heck you want. But I would think like if it was for Vogue Network, let's say, I think I would just do an unscored review, like an impressions type of thing. And, you know, this is how I feel about Star Fox 2 in 2017. It's cool that I got to play it. It's cool that they unearthed something out of the archive. I wish Nintendo would do this more often. But that all being said, this is a great thing for a museum, but not something I'm going to be like, ooh, I got to run home and play Star Fox 2.
I think we also have to look at it, though, through the lens of you know, what it was built for, the time it was built for.
Yeah, no, and like I'm saying, like as a museum, as a study of the Super Nintendo back in the day, as a what essentially would have been one of the final releases on the Super Nintendo, you know, it's I'm great that it exists for people to see that, but like as a this is going to be my 40 hours of entertainment this week instead of playing Final Fantasy 15 or something, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, SSG100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, seems like society feels the need to tear down and pick apart everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, I mean, I can sit here and go, Star Fox 2 isn't that great. It didn't age well, but I can still respect it for what it was trying to do at the time and what it means to the Super Nintendo.
And I think the elements from that went into the Star Fox Assault.
Yeah, there are pieces of that influenced future Star Fox games, for sure.
That's what I like about it, though. But I'm really hoping that Beta 64 does a new video about it, where they go through that semi-pre-released one that was online that wasn't translated and do a comparison to see how complete it was.
Now, I'm kind of sitting and purposely waiting to dive into Final Fantasy III and Secret of Mana because I think those would make better streams. So I'm kind of waiting to do some streams of those. But I have been trying to play some of the other games. I played Street Fighter II Turbo, and I can't do any of the moves. Like, what happened? Like, I'm in the game trying to do, like, Chun-Li kick, 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 or she can throw a fireball in this one, right?
Isn't she supposed to be? No, she doesn't have the Kikosho in this one.
I thought she got that in Turbo.
No, yeah, she got it in Super.
Oh, she got it in Super. No wonder I couldn't do the fireball. But I couldn't even do the spinning bird kick or any of that stuff. And I was like, what? And then I switched over to Ryu, and I was able to throw a fireball, but, like, I couldn't do anything else. It was like, I know how to do the moves. It's like, what happened?
Dan got to the end with Ken, and he couldn't beat him with Ken, so he switched to Ryu and beat the game. But Ryu wasn't there, because the fight is everything.
I was like, wait a minute, but Ryu and Ken are practically the same.
Speed is a little different.
Yeah, I get, and I think Ken gets a little more oomph on the Shoryuken, and Ryu gets a little more on the fireball, right?
If I remember
right?
Yeah, and I think he's got a better throw. Yeah, I think that's the other thing too. He's got a stronger throw.
Oh, I guess that's true. So, all right, yeah. Okay, thank you. Dark Tetsuya says she has it in Turbo. It's a different motion, though. That's what I thought. She had like the tiny little fireball, and then they like really changed the look of it.
I thought
Super.
It was a charge move.
I can't remember. I thought you had to roll a half circle.
No, I thought hers was a charge move.
Thought it was a half circle.
Whatever it is, I tried both and I can't do it. And I was like, is this just because I'm old? Like, what's going
on? Yes, Rob, it's because you're old.
You could always check the manual. Do they have a manual in the game or is it a link online?
It's a link online.
See, we also have this other thing called the internet.
Or game facts or, you know, any of that
stuff.
Or
I could probably just ask Siri, you know.
Or Dark
Hey, Siri, how do I throw a fireball?
Dark... Take some gasoline in a match and some cotton balls. Dark Tetsuya in chat says it was a charge motion in Super Street Fighter 2. So,
That's always how I was used to doing it.
Yeah, and that's what I was used to, too, but that's because they changed it later. But anyway, all that stuff aside. Oh, yes?
I know how to do the fireball. Okay. So what you do is you take the controller and press some buttons in a certain order, and it will work.
Thanks, kid. I'll try that later on because it's not working for me so far. All right.
That's it. I'm going to challenge the boy to Street Fighter.
That's right. That's right. You should. You should school this kid on Street Fighter, and then we'll see. We'll see what he has to say next week. Oh, Julian's played Street Fighter. Who's your favorite in Street Fighter, Julian?
My best. Who's that character that can do the fireball but all has the weird stretchy limbs?
Dhalsim, I think you're thinking of.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that are terrible at playing him. He's my best character.
All right, cool. Dhalsim's cool. Like, and, Yoga Fire, Yoga, that guy, right? Yoga Flame. Yeah. I think it's, yeah.
Isn't her name Chung Li?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, good at, playing on her. But, do you know what the most popular move in Street Fighter is?
What's that?
Hadouken!
Yes, it is. Yes, I think everybody knows. I think Hadouken is probably in the Webster Dictionary at this point. Very well.
I'm curious. I'm going to look that up.
All right. Well, while you look that up.
Hadouken, cheap bitch move.
All right. Well, we need to get to some quick announcements. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be here for the next few weeks. We might be off in early November. I'll fill you guys all in on that. Hopefully I'll know that for sure in the next 2 weeks
or so. Can we fill it in with cream?
whatever.
Like,
when you have a night off, you
custard
can spend,
cream.
You can spend it however you like. You can bake with Becky. She's an excellent
baker. I can't
bake
for shit. That's why I have Becky. Because Becky can bake for shit. And she can bake for other things, too.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
Let's fry stuff, though.
Let's get to some gaming news. We got more to jump into. Loki.
We'll buy stuff with Jamie. It just doesn't have the same ring to it as big with Becky. So
it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
I could do a shopping show.
Since we were talking about Street Fighter, I guess you guys should know that Street Fighter V is getting an arcade edition. Yes, it's coming out January 16th on PlayStation 4 and PC. Now, what is this going to be? Well, it's $39.99. It includes an arcade mode. Pretty straightforward since it is arcade edition. Extra battle mode. Some V-trigger moves. A gallery. A new user interface. And seasons 1 and 2 DLC content.
I don't care if Sakura is not playable.
So, this is the game of the year edition, basically. Am I right?
It's a game this year or next year edition.
Oh, yeah. I guess Street Fighter V can't really call itself the game of the year. They can just call it a game from this
year. It's the game
year.
We released at some time. And now we're releasing this other edition that's got stuff in it.
It's the You Tried collection.
I don't care if Sakura is not playable.
It's just buy this one so you don't have to buy all the extra DLC because, you know... The one that you should have waited for to buy until they release the Ultimate Arcade Edition or whatever bullshit.
Am I not mistaken that in the very beginning they said when they first put out Street Fighter V, oh, we're not going to do those types of collections because, you know, this is it. This is the definitive Street Fighter V, and we want it to be, you know, something that, you know, we add on to, I don't know, whatever the line was they gave us a few months ago that
it's
we all knew.
It's the definitive version of Street Fighter V, except none of the characters are out, so we're going to have to keep releasing those as we go on. So it'll be as definitive as the last piece of DLC.
Do you think, what's going to happen to the people that already own Street Fighter V? Are they going to...
They get an update, I believe.
Okay, so they get
So you get... If you own Street Fighter V, you get everything except for the DLC. Because that you have to buy.
Okay, Act Deft in chat correcting me a little bit here, saying they said that they were not going to do different versions of Street Fighter V, which is true. We're not getting a different version. So he meaning like...
It's a different edition.
It's not Street Fighter V Ultra or Turbo or Super Ultra Turbo Max for... Yeah. Dancing stage. Yes. All right.
Yes.
True Kiss Destination.
We still have time for that. But
I think you're looking for matching service.
That's it, for matching service. That's what I was trying to think of. All right. Julian, are you going to pick up Street Fighter V?
I have no idea, but... So, when I play against someone in Street Fighter, which is usually my family members, I hate... When people spam the same attack over and over and over again. Like someone goes up to you and says, Hadouken, Hadouken, and then you cannot get to them because the little timer of where you can't move after the attack, they just keep doing it, and it's so annoying when they just spam an attack.
And that is why I said that was the cheap bitch move.
That's right. I was gonna say I didn't know if I should say that in front of a 10-year-old, but sometimes we call that being a little bitch, and people should stop doing that. Yeah.
All right. Remember the rule for fighting games.
All right.
Don't be that bitch.
Let's see. How dare you? How dare you in chat room? There's people in chat room going, Julian, get good. You have anything to say to that, Julian? Get good, Julian.
What do they mean by that?
They mean you got to try harder. You got to get better at the game so you can get around that stuff.
I say to that, let me do what I want in video games, so shut up.
Get this boy a Twitter account. All right. Well said. Actually, some of the people that were saying that, which, by the way, was tongue-in-cheek. They didn't really mean it. They say, well said. Well said, Julian. Well said. All right. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Pokemon. We're going to talk about Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which got a little more information this week. Do the kids like Pokemon, Julian? I'm surprised you didn't bring that up. I thought kids love Pokemon. He's making a face.
No one plays Pokemon anymore.
Apparently. Not so much at school, but when I went to daycare 2 days ago.
Okay.
I stopped going to daycare 2 days ago. So every single day, someone would bring their Pokemon cards and say, "Did you get a new Mega yet today?" or something like that, or go like, "Hey, did you bring your Pokemon cards? You didn't bring your Pokemon cards. You said we'd have a battle today." And
those kids sound like nerds.
Well, aren't all of us?
Yes, especially the people listening to this show, right, Julian?
Probably.
And they're bored.
All right.
But I do have Pokemon Moon. I don't have Pokemon Ultra Mega EX Moon.
Well, no one does yet. It's coming out soon.
I have Pokemon Moon. I also know some people that have Sun and Moon, but there's only two people that went to the daycare that had the new Pokemon, which was me and Ethan C. I know five Ethans: Ethan C, Ethan T, Ethan P, Ethan Yee, Ethan B.
You're just throwing letters out there. These people don't exist.
Yes, they do.
So, if anyone's curious, Ethan is the common name
apparently
for this particular.
I was going to say
range.
I know a ton of Matts. I know, like, I know a ton of friends. I have a ton of friends that are named Matt. That's why we call this one Loki, so we can tell him apart from the other Matts. So, you know, maybe you need to come up with other nicknames for your Ethans. But I mean, if you want to use their last initial, I guess that works too. So,
to prove that they exist, Ethan B's last name is.
We don't
give out people's names on the show.
We don't like to give out people's names on the show.
We don't want anyone to
people on the internet are creepy.
We don't want them to get new friends that they don't want.
Exactly.
You people on the internet, don't be creepy and stop buying your ads into other people's business, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's not going
to
work.
Listen to the kid. All right. Well, anyhow, what can you expect in Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon? There will be new Ultra Beasts with the ability.
Ultra Beast?
No.
Wise from your grave.
There will be a new Ultra Beast that will have the ability to travel through Ultra Wormholes to go beyond just Alola. And that's what I thought was weird when I started seeing all the promotion for this game. I was like, what happened to like the Hawaii thing? Like Alola was basically Hawaii, right? I was like, what happened to the Hawaii thing? And now I'm looking at all the graphics and I'm like, well, it does look kind of cool because it kind of looks like Tron now. Like they got like Pokemon got all warped to Tron World. So I might be here for that. So anyway, it all is going to focus around the Pokemon Necro. I'm probably going to mispronounce this name. Necrozma is the Pokemon that's kind of the centerpiece of the story, who has taken over legendary Pokemons Solgaleo and Lunala. And so
Ulala?
No, not Ulala. That's different. But anyway, Necrozma has different forms called Duskmane Necrozma and Dawn Wings Necrozma. And so Ultra Beasts can be battled on their home turf. And
what is this, a Square Enix game?
I know, right? Actually, the way the plot gets all complicated, it kind of does. Like,
it's
like,
was this Kingdom Hearts now?
I know, it's like Pokemon need like a Kingdom Hearts guy.
We're getting in the Kingdom Hearts territory with all these weird names and like versions and...
But Kingdom Hearts is one of those games where it's like, I don't understand it, even though this game is for children,
we're,
supposedly.
We're really missing is the fractions at the end of the title, you know. It's, you know, we need a random fraction number.
Oh, Pokemon Ultra Sun Moon 1 half,
365
days, True Kiss Destination for a matching remix. Yes.
With Knuckles.
Yes. And Knuckles.
And Tails.
All right. Anyhow. Pokemon, I'll still check it out, even though I'm kind of making fun of it very tongue-in-cheek. It's like, it's Pokemon, and it's Tron-ish, so I'm on board.
Pokétron?
Pokétron, yes, Pokétron, exactly. Darsakura, what do you have for us?
I have things that should be a big fat duh, but it's not duh because we have assholes in the world. Bethesda had a, for their Wolfenstein production, not production, but promotion, were using Make America Nazi Free Again with the hashtag No More Nazis. which should be fine, except people actually took offense to it.
Like, oh, they're all SJW, meh, we're not going to do that anymore.
Like, why is it a bad thing to tell Nazis to fuck off?
I was like, since when was Wolfenstein not about
right
eliminating Nazis and fighting Hitler? That's why people played Wolfenstein 3D, because you got to fight Hitler and you got to punch him in the face with rockets and stuff. And so
remember, always punch Nazis.
So I'm not sure why. I mean, that's just a kind of a sick sign of, I think, the times we live in some ways, that now all of a sudden it's like, oh, what this, like, okay, look, if you're going to take issue with the game because it's violent, okay, that's one thing, but just like,
there's a quote here
that's
that
not what I'm hearing is the issue these Twitter ultra beasts are, for lack of a better term, are coming up with. Well,
there's a quote here that I like from Pete Hines, who's the vice president of marketing and PR. It was basically supporting their campaign, saying Wolfenstein has been a decidedly anti-Nazi series since the first release more than 20 years ago. We aren't going to shy away from what the game is about. We don't feel it's a reach for us to say Nazis are bad and un-American, and we're not worried about being on the right side of history here.
There's definitely some tongue-in-cheekness to the advertising that's going on, though, and playing into what's going on in the real world.
And the other thing is that they said it was pretty much a coincidence that Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, was a coincidence, because no one really expected to have real-life Nazis marching in the streets, you know? So, at the same time, I think that it... We shouldn't have to... No, just stop. All of you, stop. You're terrible.
Something to consider. Nintendo is allowing a Wolfenstein game on their system. Nintendo is fine with it. So I think that says a lot right there. Oh, my God.
But I like this quote. When it comes to Nazis, you can put us down in the against column.
I think that's a very...
As everyone should be.
It's what does it say that like a video game company has to come out and say that, and that there's a lot of people that are like, you know, why yes, that is something I support. Like, no shit that you support that, but you have to come out and say that. And so it kind of blows my mind.
It's just terrible. I mean, do you not remember that these are people who killed 10 million plus people? All because they didn't fit into their little, you know, white blonde category, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. No, you don't, because your grandparents were busy fighting against that. So fuck off and die.
All right.
I'm sorry, if you're a Nazi, fuck off and die.
All right. Moving
in
on.
That order, because the fucking off part's important.
Thank you for clarifying. All right, let's move on. Something a little bit more...
less Nazi.
Yeah, less Nazi. Loki.
Well, I wouldn't say they're less Nazis, because they sure as have a Nazi policy when it comes to cross-platform play. But
all right,
Sony,
knock it off.
Hey, that's my transition. Don't you fuck it up.
Fine.
All right, anyways. So PlayStation 4, it had their 5.0 firmware come out. And what did it do? I'm sure totally exciting things. Well... somewhat exciting things, I guess. So, for example, they had now you can, if you have a PlayStation 4 Pro, you can stream in 1080p and 60fps. Of course, with that, they kind of tweaked the way that they are doing their accounts. So you can have accounts marked as like children accounts, and you can have adults that can basically include different parental controls for each account and more managing the way those family accounts are handled. Also, they are saying that they've included some... improvements to the suspend resume, as well as uploading clips to Twitter, and you can broadcast to YouTube, and they also add folders and that type of stuff. So that's cool, I guess. I haven't been on my PlayStation 4 for a while, so I haven't actually gotten to try that out yet. Now, this is another thing that I was kind of, well, not upset, but I was just like, oh, man, you know, I kind of knew this was going to happen, but... there's going to be some tweaks coming to the PlayStation VR hardware. So they are releasing a new, different processor unit, which is basically, it's not the headset itself. It's more of the box that basically is in between the PlayStation 4 and your headset. So what it does now, because one of the issues was that they weren't able to pass through an HDR signal through the box. You had to kind of unhook it and hook it back up or do like a splitter or something like that in order to get it to work. Well, now the new box actually includes an HDMI pass-through for the HDR. So that's kind of neat. And then, of course, also now they're tweaking the headset slightly to add the head-foot integration directly into the headset versus like separate.
So if I wait to buy the VR headset till this Christmas or whatever holiday, it sounds like there's going to be less crap. Because that's one thing that annoyed me about the VR headset is there's all this stuff. Like, it's like my house is a mess already. I don't need more cords.
It's not so – I mean, I don't know. Basically, they're saying that it's just, you know, a little bit more cleaned up. It's not like a huge improvement, I don't think. It's just an improvement.
Okay, I'll take it. And I don't want to sound ridiculous that like I'm going to let a few cords stop me from getting into VR, but it certainly has been a thing where I've kind of looked at it and gone, that's going to be a lot to store.
Like, I mean, honestly, the integration with the headphones right now is not a huge deal because like they have it, it's on the cord. But yeah, it does get a little bit tangled, I guess, if you're taking the headset on and off. It is better that if it's just plugged straight in the headset versus the cord that's attached to the headset. So, I mean, I guess that's nice, but it's, I don't know. I don't feel the need, like, I don't need to sell mine and, like, buy a new one or something like that.
Okay. All right. All right, well, moving on to talk about Discord. I don't know if you guys are using Discord. You should be, because VOG Network has a Discord, and we use that to keep in touch with our listeners throughout the week. You can even submit stories. Some of the stories on tonight's show were submitted by people on our Discord. And, you know, I don't see Loki and Jamie on there a lot, but I try to get on there, and I actually respond to stuff and so forth. So you can kind of chat with us throughout the week. It's kind of what we have instead of forums now. I mean, yes, there are forums, but people actually are using Discord. So you can check that out over at vognetwork.com/Discord. That will get you your invite. It pops you right over into the Discord. But anyway, the reason why I bring up Discord is not just the cheap plug, but the fact that Discord is rolling out more features. In fact, what's happening now is that the video chat is now available to everybody. So you can do video chat in one-to-one calls or with up to 10 people in a direct messaging group. You can switch between your webcam video and screen share. So that's pretty cool. I think that's going to be a great thing, too, for Twitch broadcasters, is that if you wanted to do like a broadcast with several other people and maybe actually be able to show their screens when they play and so forth, it sounds like Discord may be a really great way to do that. I think a lot of people are probably accomplishing that through Skype right now. I know we use Skype video chat a lot for the game I'm playing right now, but that's cool that Discord has that as well. Also, picture-in-picture support is going to be available with that, and they're saying that Discord has 45 million users and counting, and I would assume a lot of the boom for Discord has come from, in part, Nintendo's lack of a robust online option, causing people to look for alternatives, and things like Pokemon Go. I think Discord's been huge for Pokemon Go. It's got a lot of people on that. And then, like, MMOs in general. You know, yeah. I remember when you used to have to rent a TeamSpeak server, but you don't have to do that anymore with Discord. It's all kind of free. So I'm sure MMOs in Discord are huge and a big part of what's driving that as well. So ActDeft in chat points out, my two reasons for joining Discord, VOG and Splatoon team chat. Yes, you can actually do – sometimes like when Flacco's streaming – I know I joined one of the streams, and he was in the VOG channel on Discord. And you could actually join his game and talk to him and interact with the stream right as it's going on. So I thought that was really cool. So anyway, yeah, Discord's very cool, and I think it's great that they have video coming out for
but
that.
But why would
as
you
well.
Need to do that? Because Nintendo has its own dedicated app. Isn't that good enough?
No, it's not good enough. That's my short answer.
All Amen.
Right. Dark Sakura.
Well, you know, I was saying earlier that I have Cuphead and I really want to play it. But, of course, the speedrunners have already attacked the game with full force. And we now have a person who is 16 out of the top 20 Cuphead speedrunners, except the speedrunner named Goopy LeGrand. Wait, not Goopy LeGrand. Why did I say that? That's one of the bosses.
Oh.
No. I
would have believed you.
It was Peking Boo. Sorry. Oh, because I knew it was sure a similarly ridiculous name.
Are you sure that's not a boss name, too?
But Peking Boo beat the game with DDR pads. Quite literally, an arcade dance pad hooked up to a PC and playing it with dance pads.
And apparently this person has speedrun other games this way, but it was more or less, will the game stand up to the challenge? And yes, it did. Beat the game in 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 40 seconds. The entire run is actually posted online as well. But there were a few bosses that gave some trouble, but for the most part, everyone and the final boss defeated with the dance pad.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Julian. And so now his goal is to try to do it in under an hour.
Okay. You got any better. Julian, what did you want to say about that?
Speaking of speedruns, there was someone who sped-run the game Dark Souls with a Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah, this is a crazy thing people do. Do you like watching that stuff, or do you think it's weird?
I don't actually watch it. I just look up top 10 videos on this so I don't have to watch the whole 2-hour video.
you just want to see the summary. You just show me the bullet points is what you're saying. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. All right. Julian's going to be running his own company someday.
Wait until we introduce the boy to Rod Caliber.
But this
you play Soul Caliber with a fishing rod.
It's as dumb as it sounds, Julian. It really is. She always talks about it. It's pretty dumb.
I don't even know what that game is, but...
It's like Street Fighter.
But if it's a video game, you can't play with a fishing rod because it's not a video game controller.
That's what you think.
That's what you think. On the Dreamcast, they released a fishing rod controller for playing Get Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Or as it was in the U.S., Sega Bass Fishing.
Now,
and that game is stupidly fun.
And if I'm not mistaken, you could also play Crazy Taxi with the rod.
You can play Crazy Taxi with a fishing rod.
You can make some crazy money with a fishing rod.
Why did they make a fucking fishing rod controller?
Rob has turned fuchsia again.
It's because back then, you know, they couldn't really improve games by, you know, quality. Right. So they added all these funny little controllers.
Julian.
That's why they have the power glove.
I have one. I think I have two. We are going to school you in the Dreamcast. You're going to sit down and you're going to play Seaman and you're going to talk to a fish. This sounds like Leonard Nimoy. Because it was voiced by Leonard Nimoy. The 90s were a very interesting time, especially at the end.
What also killed me was Alan, and you guys couldn't hear Alan shouting from the kitchen, "Hope that 2 weeks of no TV was worth it."
I think Julian knows his audience.
No, he does, yes. Julian knows his audience. All right. Okay. Let's move on, Loki.
All right.
While I get composure.
Anywho. So, Super Mario Odyssey, like most of the other Nintendo games that are on the Switch and other platforms, they, of course, have amiibo support. And one of the worries I always think with some of these is that, oh, look, here's another feature. It's basically locked behind some garbage that I got to buy. So, what's kind of neat, though, with this, I guess not neat, but a fair use of it, is it's not necessarily required, but you can do it. You can basically use it to unlock outfits in the game. But you can also purchase those outfits in the game using, you know, the in-game money within there that you earn, not with real money. So, but if you want to unlock them quicker, then you can use the amiibos and do it that way. So at least it's not required. So it's a neat bonus, but it's not required. Kind of like whole Skyrim thing. You don't need the Zelda amiibos to unlock. You can to unlock it quicker, but you can also find that stuff in game.
Now, you haven't always been the kindest when it comes to amiibo, so I bet this is a trend you're probably kind of liking, aren't you, Loki?
I like that it's not required because that would just be dumb. But then at the same time, it's like, okay, then what's the real point then? I guess it's just collecting them because they look neat, and then it sort of adds a feature to the game, but not really, because you can do it without it. So what's the point?
All right. Moving on. Before I move on to the next story, Darkstalker, did you want to, for the sake of our podcast listeners, did you want to repeat the disclaimer you're giving in chat right now regarding language? Yes.
So, this is actually kind of in response to Brad.
Before the emails start pouring in.
Damn it, Julian, I just spit water out of my nose, or through my nose. Best F-bomb ever. And I said, his mom's laughing her ass off. Becky is one of those people that realizes a word is a fucking word. Julian knows not to say that O at church. He wouldn't combust the moment he steps foot in one.
Yeah. Don't ever say that at daycare. They're not going to like it there. All right. All right. Anyway. And ActDev says, yeah, I was going to say that he knows what the word can mean and how it can be offensive. There you go.
We care? Fuck no.
Moving on. Oh, yes, please.
I don't know why she handed me the mic.
You look like you were going to say something clever, but clearly not.
All right. Well, I got something.
I'm Julian, and I just look ready all the time.
All right. I got to say, he's just adaptable, ready to go. All right.
He is adaptable.
I got something that may make you exclaim all sorts of words. This sounds like it could be really cool, though. Nintendo apparently has done a Game Boy image trademark. And, they want to trademark what a Game Boy looks like. They want to do that for merchandising purposes. But there's also a trademark here for use as a storage medium. They want to be able to put one of those out there and say, have 30 of the best games preloaded already on it. Including, I'm sure, how is Tetris not going to be? I don't know. Would they have the license?
I need Revenge
anymore?
Of the Gator.
Yeah, right? Well, anyway, so I think we all see where this is going.
It's going to be Tetris, Arkanoid, Super Mario Land.
It wasn't Arkanoid. It was Alleyway. It's the Nintendo.
Yeah. Same
Metroid 2.
The Egyptian Mario Land, that whole thing.
Yeah. And the weird Link game, the Link's Awakening.
Oh, for
remember,
sure.
It'd be Game Boy Color, I would imagine. They would do the Game Boy Color stuff.
Oh, Pokemon. Oh, man. That alone is going to be hotcakes for that. So
wonder if they would have, like, integration. That'd be kind of cool, like, with those older games, if they'd have integration with, like, the, you know, 3DS and
with the Pokemon Bank and all that.
Yeah.
Well, see, the interesting thing is, because now we're getting into stuff that is on Virtual Console because of 3DS, right? So meaning that, like, Pokemon Yellow, you can download that and you can actually play that on your 3DS. Oh, Julian's bringing me cake. You're the man. Thank you so much, dude. All right. So it actually does connect to the Pokemon Bank, so you can already do that with the 3DS Virtual Console. I don't know if this would necessarily be able to do that. It would be very cool if Nintendo did do that, but let's just say I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah. But, so it seems like instead of the N64 Classic, most people are assuming would be the next logical progression from Nintendo to Super Nintendo. You know, it seems like Game Boy is going to be the next classic for next year.
Probably.
It's not a bad idea. It's really not a bad idea. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, speaking of classics and speaking of systems, I think it's time for the classic system of the month. And you might be thinking, didn't we just do this last week?
Well, we already told people.
Yes, but it was a makeup session. So now we're getting to October's.
Y'all need to listen.
Classic system. Well, sometimes I have to repeat things because people
sometimes Rob assumes.
That's right. All right. Anyway, so Darkstalker's going to step into the gaming vault and find a system that she thinks, hey,
so sticky.
This is something that you've neglected. And probably with good reason in this case.
Yeah, definitely with good reason. Although I kind of want one just to have one because I've been hearing about...
Because you're you.
Well, not just that, but I've been hearing about people doing like different mods to them and other emulation on it. So,
all right.
But it is the Apple Pippin.
Yep. And I'm going to apologize to the live listeners because for some reason the audio here is left channel only, which is weird.
I didn't realize,
No, it's hard to
any
find.
Any with music.
Yeah. So I apologize for the live listeners. It's going to sound weird. The podcast, because the podcast is in mono, you're not going to notice this because the podcast, for size sake, is not in the greatest quality. So anyway, here is some of the background music from What Pitbin game was this that we're hearing?
Remember.
Oh, Tropic Island. I think it's a pinball game, yeah.
So anyway, the Pippin, I kind of look at the Pippin as kind of, as a precursor to the Apple TV, to be honest. It was meant to be a audiovisual stereo and television environment. It ran on the classic Mac OS architecture, and it had it actually was licensed out to Bandai. Well, the Atmark and Atworld models, so that they could release them in the Japanese and American markets as video game systems. And they also was licensed out to Katz Media for the KMP 2000 that focused on Europe and Canada. So the Pippin was named for the Newtown Pippin, which is a type of apple that is more tart than the Macintosh. Which, of course, the Mac computer was named for. So, anyway, another neat thing about it, though, is that Pippin was used for the code name for the Apple profile system that was out at the time for the Apple III and the Apple Lisa.
Can I just call out what an idiot I am live on air?
What?
Because I never realized that, all these things were named after apples.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never really sat down to think about that before. Like, where did the name Macintosh come from?
That's why my favorite apple to eat is an iPhone.
Anyway.
Girl. But the intention was never to release the Pippin on its own. It was meant to be open standard by licensing out the technology, like how JVC shared VHS, you know. So it was... It was neat for its time, but it really didn't, you know, have, I'd say, a whole much to offer. It was running on the, the original hardware, I should say, was based off of the Mac Classic 2. So it was a 16 megahertz Motorola 68030 running, the Mac software. And it was... it had, at the time, it had a pretty standard logic board. The casing was designed by Bandai. So it really seemed to be a good partnership. But the whole thing, too, is that this also was a system that could connect to the internet. It had a Hayes compatible modem built in. It's one of the earliest systems that had internet connectivity built in. And it was announced in Tokyo on December 13th, 1994, which I had graduated high school by then. It also looked like in 1995, it was reported by Nikkei that Mitsubishi was going to use the Pippin technology, but they never did actually sign an agreement. It did manufacture systems for Bandai and Katz Media. So it had a lot of crazy involvement on it. And, there was also the death of the Pippin itself actually came about when Steve Jobs returned to Apple in 97. So
it's his fault. He pulled the plug on it. He was like, no more.
He stopped all of the Macintosh clones. That included the Apple Pippin concept. Katz Media and Bandai continued to support the Pippin for a little bit longer, but they had 100,000 units committed. But only sold something like 45,000.
They sold that many?
And Bandai quit. Bandai continued to support it until December 31st, 2002. But for games that came out on the Pippin, it had some interesting licenses. Not too much came out in Japan, really. It came out with like fewer than 80 games and applications.
Right, so it's just like Microsoft anything in Japan, basically. Yeah.
In the U.S., there were 18 games that were stored separately and 6 CDs that came with the Pippin. Had the browser came out over CDs, so it was able to
update to TV works with a text and drawing app in it. But it can you could get Anime Designer Dragon Ball Z, which, by the way, did get a PC release later. At least an emulated one. You have the Compton's Interactive Encyclopedia, Exotic Sushi.
Well, that sounds like a boring game.
Home Improvement.
Who wants to play the Encyclopedia?
This one's funny. It's Movioke. Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley.
Okay, that might be fun.
The Journeyman Project, Pegasus Prime, Power Rangers Zeo versus the Machine Empire.
Oh, don't tell Shane.
Yeah, right. Super Marathon. Yeah, Shockwave Invasion Earth 2019. But what I thought was funny is that the controller was called the Applejack.
Oh, like the cereal.
I reckon.
Okay.
But for accessories, you could get either a wired or wireless Applejack controller. You get a keyboard and drawing tablet. You can get the modems up to 33.6 kilobits a second.
Woo,
sorry.
Lightning fast.
You can bump the memory up to 16 megabytes.
Wait a minute. What year was the Pippin?
94.
And they were doing wireless controllers in 94?
Yeah.
Okay, now that part's pretty impressive, because I don't think a lot of systems really started, like, wireless didn't become standard until, what, PlayStation 2 or 3?
It came with a floppy drive. It had an MO256, 256 megabyte optical disk. The ADB adapter for connecting a Mac computer devices to a Pippin, and the Pippin to Macintosh ADB adapter for connecting the Pippin devices to Macintosh. So it also it used the old Apple Color Style Writer 2400 and 2500 printers through its serial port. So, and again, I look at this as being the precursor to the Apple TV, really, because I have an Apple TV that I've been playing Sonic CD on. With a wireless controller. So, had to start somewhere.
All right. There it is, your classic system of the month, the Apple Pippin, which apparently 40,000 plus people had, and I didn't know a one. So, there you go. A little bit of history there in our classic system of the month. Actually, let me ask if you can hand the mic. I know. First off, I got to compliment Becky because I was able to eat some of this pumpkin spice cake while Jamie was doing her segment there. And this is delicious. This is amazing. It's like carrot cake, but without the lame carrots.
Well, yeah, it's a pumpkin spice cake. I actually just found the recipe on the internet a couple weeks ago.
It's fantastic. All you people listening should be jealous right now. It's awesome. Thank you so much, Becky. I really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I want to ask Julian real quick, our special guest tonight, before, because I know y'all are, you have to do a half show tonight, Jamie, and I'm assuming everybody else is only here for half the show. So I want to ask Julian before we kind of wrap up here, what do you think of classic games? Do you like to, I know we joked earlier about, I don't ask if a movie is made in the 80s or anything like that, but do you go back and play old games just to kind of see what they're like, or do you enjoy the old stuff, or what?
Sometimes I'm going to say this before I answer your question.
Okay.
Sometimes I mix up new games with old games, like Undertale. I thought it was made in the early 2000s, or 90s.
Yeah.
Just because he made it on purpose horrible graphics.
Yeah, like that's like what people do now. Like Minecraft was kind of like that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I forgot what the question was.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say, do you like to go back and play old games? Do you like to learn about the old history, or just, you know, you just play them because they're fun, or do you not play them all?
I like to, but I usually don't at home. I usually play tons of old games when I go to Jamie's house or something. Because it was the one place I played the original NES Mario video game. I also played the third Mario game at school, after school.
They let kids friend. Play video games at school now?
After, I said after.
Oh, excuse me.
I on someone's 3DS, it was horrible because I got to, like, the castle or something. It was like, hey, guess what? You lost all your lives. Start back at 1-1.
Video games used to be really cruel.
Video games... didn't have a save and load option at all.
No, they did not. It was very rare. But I'm glad Auntie Jamie is teaching you right.
And he plays pinball at my house.
Oh, yeah. Pinball's fun. Pinball's all fun.
We got
pinball's
two new
timeless.
Pinballs that you need to come play.
You like pinball, Julian?
Yes, but often extremely frustrating when you try to hit it, but then before you can hit it, it just drops down.
I know.
I hate when it goes right down the middle, and when you try to hit it, you can't hit it.
Same, kid. Same.
It just goes right down the middle.
I feel the same way. Some frustrations.
We refer to that as a center drain.
All right. Anyway, Dark Soccer, I know you're going to be leaving us here, not going to be joining us for the second half of the show because you have some engagements early tomorrow morning. So
I am
going to
finish this
here.
Cake, though.
but did you want to quickly touch on some of your rapid fire stories? I know we usually do those at the beginning of the next segment, but did you want to touch on your rapid fire stories here real quick?
Well, Marvel got incredibly fussed at for saying they were going to do a presentation with a defense contractor, Northrop Grumman. I'm saying that weird. But then because of all the backlash, they actually canceled it because they were accused of working with war profiteering. So good that they canceled that. And also, in somewhat better news, Neo Geo Battle Coliseum 2 is rumored to be in a development at SNK. So that would be nice.
Is that something you'd want to play?
Maybe.
No.
Supposed to be all cel-shaded, kind of like how Arc System Works does their thing. And, of course, we get all of our SNK characters that we like. Did you see the funny typo, though? They were saying that they were going to have Tekken at one of the things, and they said it was Goose Howard.
Oh.
That was funny. Like, hi, autocorrect.
Yeah, it's funny when autocorrect ruins everything.
Right, autocorrect does ruin everything.
All right. Well, we are going to go to a break here, and when we come back, it's just going to be Loki and I here left to peruse the rest of the show and then take your calls here in the second half of our show at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Again, that's all one word, Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But I do want to thank, of course, Dark Soccer for being here, and I'll let her have her final thought in a minute there after she finishes her cake. But I do want to thank you, Becky, so much for bringing the cake tonight and, of course, bringing the kid. Really appreciate that. So you have yourself a fabulous time, and we hope to have you guys. You don't have to bring food to be on the show, Becky. You can come anytime you like. All right.
I'll bring food anyway. It's just my way.
Well, you're the bomb. You're awesome. Speaking of the bomb, Julian, the listeners love ya. They think it's awesome that you are on this show tonight. You got to come back sometime, all right?
Okay.
All right.
And also, thank you to the people that think I'm awesome, even though I'm a 10-year-old. Yay!
Julian, it's okay to be an awesome 10-year-old, so stay awesome.
It's also okay to be an awesome 8-year-old the last time I was on the show.
That's right.
But I still wasn't as awesome. I sucked back then.
All right. Yeah. Just don't become total trash at 12. All right.
Okay.
All right.
It's like I had this awesome phase when I was 8, 9, 10, and then I was an ass. And then like I started becoming an asshole when I was 13 and up.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Some kids
go to high school and they become total jerks. Don't be one of them. All right. Sounds good. Treat the other kids with respect. All right.
I think the official word is try not to suck.
That's right. Try not. All right. We'll be back here in a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Of course.
Girl! How very dare you?
I was looking right at the rest of this cake that has to be finished. Can you blame me that I'm
excited?
Then
I can do my final thought while you eat your damn cake.
That sounds good. Dark Soccer, your final thought, please.
It'll be like Barrett. Sit down in your chair and drink your goddamn tea. Sorry, that was Sid. My final thought is because I did just come back from seeing Gorillaz, and it was a fucking amazing show, and Damon is showing his age a bit, but still kind of hot, and I got to see Del the Funky Homo Sapiens, and that was pretty nuts, but reject False Icons.
Fair enough. We're going to take a quick break, you guys. We'll be back. Don't leave. The show's not over, but we're going to take a break. We'll be back to wrap it up with your phone calls and more news, including things like a Stranger Things-based video game. We'll talk about Fortnite Battle Royale and, of course, your emails when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on the 8th of October, 2017, with episode 703 of our show already in progress. Oh, the studio feels a lot more empty now.
Yes.
Loki and I left here, but oh, God, that kid is so funny. That's great. You know what I like about kids? You know, even though I'm like, oh, kids are probably not for me, and maybe you would have a unique perspective on this because I know you have two kids and I don't, but I was always like, you know, one thing I can appreciate about kids, they're not going to lie to you. They're going to tell you the cold hard truth a lot of the times, and that's what I felt coming from Julian there a little bit ago on games.
Yeah.
So is that are your kids tell the truth too?
Usually they just like to talk about things.
Okay.
We heard.
Now, we're still trying to get your oldest on the show at some point, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, I know. It's just tough with bedtimes and everything.
Yeah, we have to do it earlier in the day. Next time we do a noon show or something, we'll have him on. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, usually if there's a concert that Jamie and I have to go to or a drag queen we have to go see on Sunday night, that's when the noon shows happen. So we'll cross our fingers for that. All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase stage.
Anyway, so before we get into some rapid fire news, Loki, I want to know your thoughts on this because it's not directly related to games, but I think a lot of tech nerds are really feeling it this week. And that's the fact that AOL Instant Messenger is going to be shutting down. That's right. On December 15th, AOL Instant Messenger is going to be gone.
So is there anything of AOL left over except do people still, I guess, using the AOL email?
AOL still has dial-up available if you need it. Well, I mean, I guess it would make sense that maybe, like, and I'm talking like places like Alaska, you know, like rural Montana. Like, there's probably still places in the country where they just don't have high-speed internet, you know, that they probably barely have phone lines. So I imagine that people still have to have some dial-up, like, very, very limited stuff. You know, people out there aren't going to be playing video games on it, but they're using it to grab their email and things like that, you know? So
if you're lucky, they grab your email. Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it depends in this day and age what kind of attachments you're getting on email. It might take a while to download. But yeah, as far as I know, AOL still operates a full dial-up service just like they used to. I mean, that's not their only thing. Last time I checked in on them, I think they were trying to make money from being like a AAA of tech. Does that make sense? You know how like AAA, your membership, gets you discounts at all these different places? I think AOL kind of tries to do that. Like they do like discounts on cell phone bills and all from being a member. Yeah, I know it's not that appealing, but that's what you asked what they're doing if they're still around.
All I think
that's what they're doing. Also, AOL was bought at some point by, I think it was Verizon, if I'm not mistaken, or Oath, that whole branch, which if I'm not mistaken, just bought Yahoo as well. So maybe something is going to happen where AOL and Yahoo kind of come together. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All the services that people have abandoned.
But I don't. Well, did you use AOL Instant Messenger a lot, Loki?
Like in the 90s.
I used it a lot. Well, it's funny. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the whole like online games and how I'm playing one again. It's been a very long time, but I remember 7-8 years ago, it was all on AOL Instant Messenger because Facebook Messenger wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
And text messages still cost money. Like, you know, which if you still have an archaic cell phone plan, I finally got off a cell phone plan last year that charged me like over 1,000 text messages. I had to pay like 10 cents. Because I don't get that many text messages, especially when you have iMessage between iPhones is all free.
Yeah.
But I think all that stuff has killed the need for AOL. Like, you know, I don't remember the last time I signed into AOL. It's all Facebook Messenger, Skype, text message, like all of that.
Pretty much.
Snapchat even. You ever use Snapchat?
No.
Yeah. I use Snapchat.
I played the filters
lately.
Once.
Did you?
And that was it.
Those are fun.
I didn't actually send anything.
I like looking at other people's stuff because other people post stories and it'll be like, here's this concert I'm at, or here's this, you know, show I'm looking at, or here's my drunk friend doing karaoke. And, you know, watching that kind of stuff's cool. But, you know, that's like the Snapchat interface is really weird. Like an old ass man. Alan had to sit me down and be like, okay, so if you swipe to the right, that's where you see everybody's stories. And I was like, I had to like,
well,
take
right
notes.
And then I heard some stupid, I think it was Snapchat or maybe it was Tinder, where like the developers of it, they're like, well, we made it like that on purpose because old people can't figure it out, and we're like, we don't want old people on it. It's like, you're fucking stupid. I mean, like, and not that I would find something like that complicated, but just that attitude is just fucking stupid.
It is. It's ageist. Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com is saying ICQ is still around. Is it really? I just remember that little uh-oh noise it made like every time you got a message. Did everybody make the same noise on ICQ? Did you ever use ICQ?
No.
I'm almost positive my number was something like, it was only a few digits. It was 1297226. It was a 7-digit number, which is pretty low. Don't bother sending in a message because ain't nobody checking it. I don't even remember the password. And I might not be right on the number, but I don't have like a 7-digit number on ICQ, which I guess was considered really low. So that was cool, I guess. But I just remember that little noise. Uh-oh. whenever you got the message. And then I've got like random messages from people like in South America and stuff. It's like, I don't even know these people that are just messaging me out of the blue. I guess maybe it was the earliest days of spam. I don't know. But you think is do you think ICQ is still big in some parts of the world? I guess it must be.
I have no idea.
I don't know. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's do some rapid fire news. Back to video games.
All right, so there's some teases coming from the producer of the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, Kazuhiro Tsuchiya. He's basically hinting that some announcement for Mega Man's 30th anniversary is going to be made in December. I want to say that Capcom has not forgotten about Rockman. This here, the Mega Man 30th anniversary logo, is being put to good use. The Rockman 30th anniversary is coming to December. December, please remember that date.
I don't remember. I remember something similar to this last week. I don't know if it was the exact same thing. I remember Jamie mentioning something like this, but I remember, because this is just in line with what I said last week, December is PlayStation Experience. So if Capcom's going to drop a bomb, like new Mega Man game coming, PlayStation Experience certainly seems like the place to do that, especially for December. Like, what
else?
Well,
yeah, they said
then?
That the original Mega Man was released on December 17th. So,
yeah, but video games, you know, way back then, video games weren't quite like they are now, where it's like a lot of the big stuff comes out at the end of the year. Although I feel like we're getting back to that year round of releases because, you know, we've got a lot of big games that come out in January now. You know, which used to be like the deadest time of year when the show
started.
Yeah,
it still is, but there's a few things.
You get a few big, and then the Street Fighter V arcade thing we were just talking about had a January release date.
Yeah, but it's more of like a, I don't know. I think they released like early in the year too.
Yeah. That Secret of Mana remake that I guess is, it's not on our show roll, but it's actually being shown at that New York Comic Con that's going on right now. Maybe, I don't know if Rama was there, or maybe one of our other New York folks, but I imagine somebody had to have gotten their hands on it. I'm really curious to see how that Secret of Mana game looked. So I know that, but that's out in like February, if I remember right. So, you know, early in the year, we're getting some big releases now. So,
yep. So there's a tie-in game that, well, it's sort of like, I don't know, if, it almost like seems like a fan game, but there's a Stranger Things game that's on iOS and the Google Play Store, and it's free. So definitely worth checking out because free. It looks like an SNES game, but I guess it's about revolving around the season one story. So, I mean, I don't know. It'd be worth checking out. But you have different characters with different abilities. Of course, you can explore Hawkins and the Upside Down and other things like that. But that'll tide you over maybe until the second season, which comes out on October 27th.
I hope you can run into Barb. That would be great. Actually, I did download this onto my phone, and I tried playing a little bit of it, and it's a lot since it is like an old school game, but you do touch to move places in the game. So the audio on this is so low. I wish I could turn this up so you can kind of hear it, but it actually has like an 8-bit version of the theme that actually plays. It's probably not coming through very well, but kind of cool. So, hey, it's free.
Free. I just wish it was free on PC, you know, where you have actual keys and buttons. And
well, I'd assume the game is designed around tapping. Like, it wasn't that you, like, hold up or hold up. Like, you tap on the screen where you want the character to move, and the
so
character
moves
there.
Is it like a puzzle game, or is it all action-packed and stuff?
I think there are action elements, but it's a little more puzzle than it is action.
Okay.
But, like, there will be things where you shoot things, but it's, like, tap to shoot and things like that.
Okay.
Like, it's not particularly complex, but I haven't played a lot of it, so don't quote me on any of that. All right, some rapid-fire news from me. Well, this is a little bit of a disappointment because last week we were kind of hyping up the next Splatfest because in Europe they were going to get the toilet paper. Which way should it go? Should it go over the roll or behind the rolls? Which led to the whole discussion on back rolls. But we thought, oh, well, since the Europe Splatfest always matches the American Splatfest, or at least it has the past few times, that's what we're going to get for sure. But nope. We are not getting the great toilet paper showdown of 2017. Instead, the theme for Splatfest here in America will be Team Vampire versus Team Werewolf.
But fucking Twilight was years ago.
I know. I'm like, you just took the joke I was going to make. We literally are getting the Twilight showdown here. Jacob versus, what's his name? Edward? What the fuck was that guy's name?
Yeah, it's Edward.
So, okay, Edward versus Jacob. That's what we're getting here in the States. So I guess, I mean, it's Halloween month, so I get it. It's, you know, it's a tie into Halloween, but I was still kind of looking forward to toilet papering somebody's house is a Halloween tradition too.
That's true.
So anyway, what do you think? Team vampire or team werewolf? I think I'm leaning, you know, I understand that with all the talk that we've had in previous weeks about Manther and things like that, that maybe werewolf, but team vampire is purple. Like that purple color of the paint is awesome. So I think I might go team vampire.
It should be blood red.
You would think, right?
But then what would the werewolf one be?
The werewolf one is like brown, I guess, like fur or something like that. I don't know. So, well, there you go. So you can check that out. October 13th is when the Great Vampire versus Werewolf Showdown begins. Sorry, Act Deft. It's orange, not brown. Sorry about that. Orange. It looked brown on the photo. Also, this is a really awesome, like, gamers doing good news. I like to read things like this. There's a cool little charity album that has just been released. It's called Spirit, which is a game music charity album, and it's to benefit victims of Hurricane Harvey, and I think that's awesome. So you can actually check that out. It's available on iTunes, on Spotify even, and on Bandcamp. There's only 4 tracks, and they're kind of remixes from other games, but still, again, it's for a good cause, so it's worth checking out. It has Hopes and Dreams from Undertale. It has Main Theme from Final Fantasy VII by Ruby Tung. Apotheosis Journey from the game Journey, excuse me. A remix by Stephen Robert Frober. I hope I said that right. And then the ending theme to Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire by Braxton Burks. So it's just 4 tracks, but still, it's a great cause. So it's definitely worth checking out. So if you have like an Apple Music or a Spotify thing, go listen to it because at least, you know, they get some money that way. So check that out. But buy the album if you want to do some good there for the Greater Houston Community Foundation. Awesome. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. So we'll start in the U.S. with Loki, and maybe he'll help me pick up the U.K. releases too.
So this week we do have a few things coming out. So we have a game called 88 Heroes, the 98 Heroes edition on the Nintendo Switch. We have a game called Artica 1 that's on the Oculus Rift. Cyber Dimension Neptunia 4 Goddesses Online. Or I guess it's Cyber Dimension Neptunia 4 Goddesses Online. So it's kind of weird. Middle Earth Shadow of War coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then, of course, Cyber Dimension Neptunia that was on PlayStation 4. Raid World War 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Tiny Barbarian DX on the Switch. Toho Kabuto 5 Burst Battle on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. Chaos Child on PlayStation 4 and the Vita. And The Evil Within 2 looks like on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Oh, that's out already? I mean, I knew that was coming out, but I thought, yep. I guess that makes sense. Scary games in October. That's when you do them.
Yep.
So, all right.
That's it.
All right. We're getting to that end of the year rush. Japan also seeing some releases this week. They are also getting their Japanese version of Middle Earth Shadow of War, which I imagine is kind of the big game here in the States this week. And, you know, probably, I don't think it's as big of a deal in Japan, but they are getting a localized version over there from Warner. Also coming out in Japan this week, Lost Sphere, but that's spelled S-P-H-E-A-R. They spelled it a little differently. And then Date A Live, Rio Reincarnation HD. Yes, that is a game that is coming out in both a regular and a limited edition. And it looks like another schoolgirl manga type of game. As we see get released there that doesn't usually get released over here. Nothing on the Vita for a change. I know we make Vita is dead jokes here in the U.S. all the time, but Japan usually has some things to talk about, but it doesn't look like they actually do this week. So I have to jump over to the Nintendo Switch to find Lost Sphere is also out on the the Switch this week. And then lastly, over on the 3DS, there is no new games, but they have the new Nintendo 3DS XL is being released as that. Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, a Europe thing snuck into my list there. That is not being released in Japan. My bad. I guess a little preview of what to look forward to in Europe if Loki has those dates ready.
Yes. So not a whole lot coming out. We've got, of course, Shadow of War coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then, of course, Looks like The Evil Within 2 as well on PC and Xbox One. Story of Seasons Trio of Towns on 3DS. That's it.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag, because every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. If you want to participate with the show, and we do have a couple emails to read for you tonight. So let's get to it. Again, it's participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. We're going to start off tonight. Jamie's not here, so I will take care of the emails. We'll start off tonight with an email from Kitten Poker. I like that. Is that literally cats together, getting together, playing poker, and then writing us emails? Kitten Poker says, "Hello, just making sure you have something to read." Oh, but that's very kind. I guess after a couple weeks of empty mailbags, it's very kind of Kitten Poker to make sure that we have something to do tonight.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Also, not video games, but just wondering if you've heard of Critical Role, R-O-L-E, and if you have, what do you think of it? And thanks, Kitten Poker. That's the email.
I have heard of it. I have not actually listened to it.
I'm in the same boat. That's the Geeks and Sundry getting together and playing D&D show, right?
Yes. But that's, if I'm going to watch a show like that, that's going to be kind of on the back burner to myself watching Harmon's Quest, which I still have. I set up my account for, was it Verve is what they call it now, for season one, because I want to watch that now that it's free. I just haven't done it yet, so that would come first. But yes, definitely shows with people that are funny playing, you know, D&D. I'm down with that.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the concept of the show. I must confess I haven't listened to it. I don't get to listen to as many podcasts as you might think. Like, I'm a huge advocate and supporter that, you know, people who want to do one should be doing one, but I really only get to listen to them on my commutes, so I'm kind of, I must confess, and I hope this doesn't get back to him because it will inflate his ego immensely, but one podcast I've been, like, not missing recently is Starboard Power Coupling here at VOG, because I've actually been watching Star Trek Discovery, so I've been, like, dying to know, like, what those guys think about it, and it seems like it's a very mixed panel over there. Like, it seems like Dr. Ken's super into it, Eddie's kind of, I don't know, this might be too dark, I don't know if I'm into it, and then Matt's kind of trying to see both sides of it, so it's been some interesting
discussion.
Now, are
they also watching, was it the new Seth MacFarlane one?
The Orville?
Orville?
No, they're not talking about it there, but I know that is the general consensus in the nerd community that the Orville is, if you like Star Trek, you're probably going to like this.
Because it was like, everyone thought it was going to be terrible, and even I think the reviewers thought it was kind of not that great, but then, like, it was really, it's apparently been pretty good. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, the reviewers tore it apart, but people actually liked it. But wasn't that the way the original Star Trek was, too? Like, didn't reviewers not think it was great, and then the fans really saved it? Like, I almost thought that was how that story went there. So I was trying to go to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says Critical Role is also on Twitch. It's basically live streaming tabletop gaming. Yeah. There was a show at Dragon Con where I met a couple of the hosts, and they did a very similar thing for the, and I'm such an ass, I forgot the name of their show, but I know it's on Giant Size Team Up is the name of the network. And they do, it was like a one word name with an exclamation point, something like that was the name of their show, I think. I think it's a neat concept for a show. Truth be told, like, if there were some indie folks that wanted to do something like that for VOG, like, that's the type of show I'd love to recruit for this network. I mean, you have to be dedicated to putting out regular editions and all that good stuff, but I think those shows are a lot of fun.
You know, it actually be a fun show for you to stream is, have you ever seen tabletop, was it, they have like a tabletop game simulator or tabletop simulator on Steam where set up your own games? And
yeah,
I mean, granted, we just have to make sure no one's going to flip the table, because you can do that, but I know
somebody that is putting out a board game, and somebody that's been working very hard on a board game recently, and they've been using Tabletop Simulator to, like, test elements of the board game without having to go and make all these pieces, if that makes sense.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat when I heard about that. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, like a radio drama. That too, I would say radio drama is a little more in the Night Vale camp, which there's, you know, a lot of shows very well. I mean, that's a very different type of podcast, right? That's kind of like fiction versus nonfiction. Believe it or not, what we're doing here is nonfiction. It's real, right? That fiction side of podcasting is a whole nother world that I must admit I'm not super familiar with. But again, I love the idea. And if there was somebody wanting to do a regular type of thing, like, you know, that would be a great fit here at the Voice Geeks Network, I think. So, you know, if you know somebody that's producing a show like that, again, the one thing we just want is regularity, and we don't want to sign up a show that's going to disappear after 5 episodes because we already had Pokestop Podcast and we don't want to do that again. So, all right, anyway, let's move on to the next email. Last email tonight from our pal YYR. We always love to hear from Aaron or YYR. Hello, LR. Enclosed are just a few of my thoughts on the show from last week. First off, I'll answer the question as to why it's worth it to drop 80 beans on the SNES Classic. There are several reasons, actually, but the biggest one is this. While I am all for choosing not to spend money on this flawed, impractical, or poorly handled attempts to bank on nostalgia, this is not one of those. After nickel and diming us by making us buy the same virtual console releases over and over again, apparently, to only then cut us off by shutting down the storefront and preventing any future re-downloading, here Nintendo is packing 21 of this console's very best games into an adorable plug-and-play, 100% legal, physical package that can never be taken offline or revoked in any way. On top of this, you also get some features that aren't part of either the original console or an ordinary emulator, such as the visually attractive, easy-to-use, and built-in interface. Let's not forget that catchy little tune that plays on the menu, too. That's nowhere to be found in Super Nintendo. They made it for that. And then the clever rewind feature. But arguably, the best part is something that a Raspberry Pi absolutely cannot offer. A pair of brand new, 100% authentic and original Super Nintendo controllers, with the only difference being the interface. This means that the games not only look and sound the same as they did on the original hardware, they also feel the same. Provided that Nintendo actually does follow through on delivering enough units to stores, I will say this. The SNES Classic absolutely is nostalgia done right at a fantastic value, and for paying proper tribute to this fantastic piece of history, I believe they should be rewarded with your $80. Your opinion may differ, but that is mine. No, I think...
Well, I think a lot of people would like to reward them with their $80, except, you know...
They can't.
They can't because they didn't make enough, and we're in the same scalper situation again.
That's a whole nother issue, though, but I respect what YYR is saying about, you know, if you can get your hands on one. Here's why to buy one. Here's what, you know, instead of going to, well, I could do that on a Raspberry Pi, here's a reason why people want it. And I do agree with the controller part. Yes, I'm well aware they make USB controllers that are really fucking similar. But you know what? They don't really feel the same. Like, a lot of those controllers really feel cheap when you use them.
I'm pretty sure that they have USB adapters for the original SNES controllers, NES controllers. Like, you can use the original controller.
That they do. That's cool.
I mean, there is ways to get around that. But yes, it is a brand new controller. It's just... really short reason. They really, if they were smart, would have supported the Wii, you know, be able to sync some Wii remotes to it, and then that way you could do it wirelessly since they're just basically classic controllers anyways.
Kaijudo in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, SNES is $80. I thought it was $59.99. Surprise, the NES Classic was $59.99, but yes, the SNES Classic is $79.99.
It's okay, because they've changed absolutely fucking nothing. Okay, now to be fair, they do include two controllers. So that does kind of offset the cost a bit.
With longer cords.
Slightly longer cords. Yeah, not... Come on.
Barely long enough to reach the couch if I'm sitting in front of the couch, but not to actually reach the couch with me sitting on it. Does that make sense?
I don't understand why they can't make longer cords. Is it a cost thing? Are they really?
I don't know.
Just charge like $2 more and then, I don't know.
Anyway, YYR continues. On a somewhat related note, regarding the Wii Shop shutdown, now let it be said that I do not support piracy, especially considering that I create games myself, but I'm sure you're already aware that the Wii console has already been hacked in every way possible. Right, Loki? You may also know that, using simple instructions, it is very easy to soft mod your Wii and install things onto it. You may or may not, however, be aware that the entire archive of Virtual Console and WiiWare is already available on the internet in large archives and torrents. Now, I'm not going to suggest or endorse that anyone abuse this. However, if something happens to your Wii console or its contents in the future, it is very possible to get your previous purchase titles back. So when the Wii Shop channel goes dark in 2019, none of its software will truly disappear for good. And that is a good thing, because by the time you read this email, Xbox Live indie games will already be disappearing forever.
Yeah, it's funny. Well. Yeah, there was, I forget, it was someone from All Games that was tweeting on the All Games account.
It was Derek.
It was Derek. Yeah. Okay. So Derek, I guess.
It had to be. He had that, you must die or you
yes,
will die.
Yes, he was like
game,
tweeting
yeah.
out like codes, and I was able to redeem one of them before they shut it down. So
thanks, Derek.
Thank you. I don't know what the game is, but I've got it now.
If I remember, I played it when it first came out, and it was his little take on a bullet hell game, basically.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, I was like, hey, free game, cool. You know,
yeah, I mean, especially, you know, for an indie game that I believe Derek did himself, it was good. It was a great effort. You know, it's more than you've done. I'm just kidding. No,
true.
But no, it was great. It was great. So, it is sad that all that stuff's gone forever. But I know that Xbox One has now its version of this, and we've talked a little bit about that before. And I know YYR is looking at maybe, you know, doing some of his games for that. And maybe Derek will too. I don't know. I don't know if he's done with that or whatever he wants to do. And all your favorite creators over on Xbox Live Indie Games. So
there's Steam now, because there's really no barrier to entry except for $100.
I don't have $100.
You get it back if you sell $1,000.
If nobody's going to buy my game. Maybe the three people that listen to OLR, but that's about it. All right. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I saw a stream that was playing off some Xbox Live indie game stuff. It was mostly terrible jank, but still as a send-off. Have you been able to play any of the Xbox Live indie game stuff, Loki? Like, I know you said you redeemed the code, but
I have not tried, because that involves me actually hooking up my Xbox 360 again, and so I have not done that to do, you know, all of that.
Yeah, that's my problem too, is that the Xbox 360 is not hooked up. But my understanding is, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, somebody in chat can correct me if I am wrong, but my understanding is that you can still download for like another year. You just can't buy anything else, right?
Yeah, I think that's the case.
All right. Well, Xbox Live Indie Games is done, and we're going to have to send off Xbox Live Indie Games the only way I know how.
Copyright strike, I'm sure.
That's right. Play off Xbox Live Indie Games, Keyboard Cat. Rest in peace forever in our hearts. All right. Thank you, YYR, for the email. Let's move on with some more stories. And you can always email us as well. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. Tell us a favorite Xbox Live Indie Game story. Loki.
Okay. So basically, the Switch is doing really well. It's making Nintendo lots of money. Who would have thought?
It prints money.
Yes, so the Switch has actually caused Nintendo stocks to rise for a 9-year high. Apparently, they are up 3.3% to 43,930 yen. That's the highest they've been since September 2008. And apparently, it's still going pretty strong. And along with that, of course, they're saying that they're set to hit an annual shipment of Switch consoles around the 20 million mark. Along with that, though, they're also saying that they're trying to increase production. So they're going to be increasing the production by 2 million units per month to hope to meet the demand through the holiday. So, neat. And then, of course, along with that, you know, they're also...
Is it still hard to get a Switch easy?
You know, it doesn't seem to be. Like, I've seen them in stock at a few retail stores. They're not in stock everywhere and all the time, but, like, I have gone into stores and seen a few systems sitting there. So, I don't think it's incredibly hard to get them, but they are out of stock in a lot of places.
That would be good going into Christmas, that there's a few on the shelf when, you know, parents want to buy them for their kids.
Right.
Let's say Julian's going to get his Switch to be able to play Zelda if that's what he wants. I don't know.
Like, if I was going to, I'd probably get that Mario Odyssey bundle or something like that. Just, you know, to have Mario Odyssey. But it's, I don't know. They're available. So, I mean, you can find them. They're not like, I mean, there's still people trying to scalp them, which is like, really?
A little late on that.
It's kind of, they're out there. I mean, you're not going to need to sell it.
Those guys thought they could wait till the holidays to make a bigger buck, but didn't work out. All right. Well, I don't know if you've played any Fortnite Battle Royale. I've watched a little bit of this on Twitch. Some of my buddies were playing it on Twitch. I downloaded it with the intention of playing with my friends, but it hasn't happened yet. So I still haven't played it. I just have the client sitting there on my computer. But apparently this Fortnite Battle Royale is doing pretty well, despite all the drama with PUBG that we were talking about the other week. I know it's PUBG, but I like to say PUBG because it makes you think it's little pugs. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Unreal Engine 4 is supposedly going to be getting some tweaks to it to help support games like Fortnite Battle Royale, but it's not going to apply only to Fortnite, which I think was part of the concerns that the developers of PUBG had said before, is that, you know, that they were going to make improvements that only benefit that game. So here is Epic Games kind of doing something to the contrary, I suppose you could say. Dedicated servers will now support the larger number of players better with the change log that they did. And some of the, I guess there's 60 hertz servers that get improvements to. And so the level of detail system will allow for longer view distances, hopefully without sacrificing performance, which is especially important on consoles where you have a more limited memory than you usually do on the PC. All these changes are supposed to be in version 4.18 of Unreal Engine 4 coming out later this month, although some will not be out till version 4.19. So that's pretty cool. Although you might be wondering, well, when do I get to do this on PlayStation 4, at least doing the Player Unknown Battlegrounds, the other game? So if you do want to play yourself some PUBG, that is going to be coming out, hopefully, on PlayStation 4. They haven't said anything official yet. The Xbox One version is later this year, and the game will be away from early access in 2018, getting its real release on PC. The Xbox version will be launching later this year, and in a statement from the Bluehole's founder, says that Bluehole and Sony are thinking about a release for the PlayStation 4 after that. So it may not be something exclusive to Microsoft's platform, at least for very long. I would think, though, this is the type of game, you know, I hope something that Bluehole and the folks behind this game are thinking about, this is the type of game where maybe they would have leverage to strong-arm Sony and say, if you want us to put this game on your console, you're going to let us do crossplay. And if Sony doesn't let them do it, they don't release it. I kind of would like to see, because, you know, not every game can get away with that, but I think this is one where they might be able to arm wrestle Sony a little bit on that. I hope they do.
I don't know what their problem is.
I don't either, and that attitude is going to shoot them in the foot at some point.
It is. I mean, because, like, not really right now, but, like, looking at, like, if I knew what I knew now with the consoles, and I'm going back and I'm like, okay, am I getting a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and how they've treated, like, modding, and they've treated, you know, online play and stuff, I probably would have gotten an Xbox One, because, you know, they're seem to be more open to that stuff, and that's important.
Kaijudo in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sony won't do it. That game is still kind of not complete. Well, it's supposed to be complete in early 2018. That's what they're saying. It'll be out of early access by then, so a few more months to make all those tweaks. We'll see. Anyway, on a different note, let's talk about Assassin's Creed Origins, because that is coming out later this month. We got another huge game this month, right? Well, some of the early previews are hitting out there on the internet, and something that has come out of the previews, this is very important and should be a feature that is weighed in many video games that is out there. It has come out that in Assassin's Creed Origin, you can pet the cats. That's right, everybody. Video gaming in 2017, we made it, fam. You can pet the cats in Assassin's Creed Origin, which, of course, many people are very, very excited about. I guess that is a fan-requested feature that actually made it into the game. The development lead, Ashraf Ismail, who was the game director of Black Flag, said that fans were thanking him personally for ensuring that the much-requested petting feature was added back into the game. So I guess in an earlier Assassin's Creed game, you could pet the animals, but then it wasn't there for the last one. So there you go. you will be able to pet cats. Yes, there's already YouTube. Gameplay, petting cats in Assassin's Creed Origins. It's important, Loki. It's important.
They don't have it in Grand Theft Auto. You can only shoot the cats or drive them.
That's terrible!
Or run them over with
no!
car.
No! Rockstar! Fuck you!
Should be able to pet the cat.
You should be able to pet the cat. You love the cat. Love every cat. That's all I want to do in video games. That's my personal dream game. Love every cat. That's all you do. You go around a big open world like Grand Theft Auto, and your goal is to pet all the cats. That's it. Isn't that a game you'd play, Loki?
No, that sounds terrible.
Why?
Because cats don't want to be pets sometimes. They chase after them.
Let me love you.
Is it like a parkour game like Assassin's Creed where you're like scaling walls?
Yes.
And running along.
Yeah, you have to. It's like Metal Gear. Like you have to stealthily approach the cat. And if the cat sees you, it has the exclamation point. And then
well,
runs
actually,
away.
You know what? That'd be super easy. You just get a laser pointer and you just. Okay.
That could be like a superpower that you get in the game. Tiger Claw in chat says, you have to remember it's the cat's world. We just live in it. That's right. All right, a couple more stories for you guys before we open up the Skype.
Why don't we have a Cats in Creed or something like that where the cat is the actual assassin?
Does the game have a pause button? That was a joke I would have expected the 10-year-old to tell, but he's not here. Anyway, Loki, save me before we open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio.
So everybody's message service is going to be opened up, I guess, to help close out Miiverse. So since Miiverse is shutting down in November, that they're basically allowing, I guess, the everybody's message community, which is going to last, I guess, for a week. It allows you to draw messages and stuff. I don't know. What the hell is this shit? I didn't ever use this.
It sounds like it's just a community on Miiverse to memorialize Miiverse. So somebody needs to go paint a picture of Keyboard Cat to appropriately send off Miiverse.
All right. I mean,
yeah. It's Loki. I get the feeling you don't plan on participating with this.
No, I don't. Because I don't fucking use Miiverse. You know what? Speaking of games, which game do you think my son is playing on the Wii U? He's been just like super hardcore into
Captain Toad's Treasure game.
We don't have that.
Well, shit. I don't know then. What?
Mario 64.
Really?
Yes. Out of all the games that I have downloaded for him, he's playing Mario 64 like crazy.
I don't see the problem.
I don't either. It's just like I was surprised because he didn't want to play any of the Mario games. I downloaded him all the Mario games.
Uh-huh.
Like Mario, you know, Super Mario 1 through Super, you know, Mario World,
right.
Zelda, you know, and all that stuff. And he didn't play any of those. And then Mario 64, he just decided to play and he's been playing.
Was this before or after you saw the kiosk with Mario Odyssey? Because I could see where a kid might draw some similarities.
Before. He's doing it before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He only played Mario Odyssey because it's a game to play at the store. So
Right. You know, okay. Yeah. Well, I thought maybe like he did that and then it was like, oh, this is the closest thing I have at home to Mario Odyssey. Like, I don't know, sometimes.
No, I hear the music all the time. Like, I hear it from the other room. Yeah, where he's playing like all this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Does he die a lot in the game?
I don't know. I've never actually watched him play. Oh. I can just hear him playing from the other room.
How does the wife feel about that?
Oh, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
As long as he's not bothering her.
Exactly. Well, here's something you could let the kids play just in time for its 25th anniversary. That's right. Do you know what game series turned 25 this week? Mortal Kombat. That's right. Mortal Kombat with a K turned 25 years old this week. And yeah, they actually put out a little video that was on Twitter that was kind of floating around about the Mortal Kombat franchise and the legacy there. The different games in the series. The original game was 1992, 25 years ago, Mortal Kombat Arcade, followed by Mortal Kombat 2, 3, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, Mortal Kombat 4. That Mythologies game was Sub-Zero. Mortal Kombat Gold, which was a Dreamcast game. Mortal Kombat Special Forces. Then there was Deadly Alliance. Tournament Edition, which was Game Boy Advance. Deception. Shaolin Monks. Armageddon. That was the one with like every fucking Mortal Kombat character ever was Armageddon, right? Because I think that was the big send-off of that. Unchained was the PSP version. Ultimate Mortal Kombat was the Nintendo DS version. Then they had Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, which was the brutality game, mm-hmm. right? And then there was Mortal Kombat 2001. I don't know which one that was. Oh, that was the reboot, right?
Yeah, it's just called Mortal Kombat.
It's called Mortal Kombat. And then Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, Complete Edition. Those were just, you know, greatest hits. And then Mortal Kombat X and XL. And that's where things stand. The last release was XL in 2016, which was really... You know, it was just a rebox of X from 2015. So, you know, next year will mark a 3-year gap between two. So,
well, didn't this year wasn't this year the DC one? So, I would imagine yeah, next year.
Injustice two.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, I would say next year would be a good time for Mortal Kombat. Well, I don't know. There was Mortal Kombat. It's actually 2011, not 2001. I don't, the year's printed wrong here. But 2011 and 2015, that was a 4-year difference. So I would say maybe 2019 would be the latest. But they might tease it.
Well, before that, though, they also had – well, they had Injustice 1, too, that came out. So
that's true.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Would you be excited for a new Mortal Kombat game?
I don't play them, so I don't know.
They're getting a little violent for me. It's a little much. Like the Mortal Kombat X was pretty intense.
As long as the gameplay is good, I mean, that's true. They need to keep upping the fatalities, but it's just like kind of. After a while, it's not that impressive.
We're going to open up the Skype line right now at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, 1-877-GAME-OLR.
I would like to see them because you know how they do all like the horror characters in there. I would like to see a horror character. Licensed fighting game.
Yeah, why not just do an all-out, like, Smash Brothers, but all
like
horror characters.
Freddy, Jason,
Ash, Predator, Alien. I mean, most of these people are already in. Leatherface are already in.
Just all the, like, side characters that they've added in all the games. You know, we'll just do that.
Yeah.
The game.
What's your earliest memory? While we wait for some calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, what's your earliest memory of Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat 1, I mean, just...
Yeah. I remember going to the Nickel Arcade to play it, where you had to pay the $2.50 to get in, and then you played the games on the nickels.
Yeah, yep. I went to a few of those. That was fun. What did we used to play in the Nickel Arcades? Jeez, I don't even remember anymore. It wasn't DDR, because that was before DDR.
That was the big one. There was another, like, violent fighting games were all the rage around that year, because Mortal Kombat kind of pushed the envelope. There was that one, was it Time Killers? Was the one where you chopped off the arms and legs? Mm. And then eventually you could chop off the heads like that. And those were literally the attack buttons. Maybe you had like leg, hand.
Maybe it was Gauntlet or Gauntlet Legacy or Legends or whatever that we were playing
in
the arcades. Or you know what it was? It was a lot of those like Capcom brawler games, you know, like the Simpsons arcade, Ninja Turtles, Commando, that type of stuff.
Konami. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Konami didn't do those.
Turtles, yeah. Konami
Yeah, that was Turtles. Yeah, that's right. Simpsons
was
also,
on the same engine, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, Captain Commando and
X-Men, the X-Men arcade game.
Yeah, all of those because those
Final
are
Fight.
Didn't play a whole lot of Final Fight actually.
Really?
Yeah, just I played Captain Commando was like my favorite game, so I played that a ton. We had that. It was funny because like when I was growing up, we had like an arcade game. Like there's one at the 7-Eleven. There's one at this other diner. There's one, you know, we had the pizza place that was nearby that had different games. So if we wanted to go to different places to play different games, like the Street Fighter 2 at the 7-Eleven and Captain Commando at this cafe and you know, Rico's Pizza had like, you know, a few different games, none of which were that great. Super Off-Road, I remember they had that. I don't know.
I remember when Mortal Kombat 2 first came out, how freaking crazy everybody went. And, like, I remember going to this little, like, Quickie Mart store. It wasn't actually 7-Eleven, but something like it, that actually had a Mortal Kombat 2 machine. And, like, all the kids in the neighborhood were there because it was, like, the graphics were insane. And I just remember seeing that for the first time when it was, like, one of the fighters punched the other into the acid in that one stage. It was nuts.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I think the computer did it to him or something because... I don't know if people knew how to do it right away. You know, you used to have to get them out of magazines or trade them on BBSs to figure out how to fatalities.
The fatalities and everything. They used to have guides or something.
Exactly.
Guidebooks.
One last shout out for calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Have you played any of the newer Mortal Kombat?
No. The only thing I have that's recent is the first Injustice, because that was one of the PlayStation Plus titles.
PlayStation Plus, yeah.
And so I still have to go back and play that. But no, I never really got into Mortal Kombat. It's more Street Fighter.
That's okay. I understand. I played a little bit of the Mortal Kombat 2011 one because I liked that it was kind of a reimagining of the classic games and that the story actually kind of went through the first three games.
That's
and, you
cool.
know, I know the piece with my mother and her seeing that for the first time was pretty legendary here on this show. But, yeah, you know, I enjoyed playing through that game. And then Alan got really into that game for a little bit, too. He was playing it a lot. He played through the story, so... I mean, I'll give Mortal Kombat that. It usually had a pretty good story, and I liked how they have, like, in a lot of the, like, PlayStation 2 and later games, they have, like, the Crypt, which had, like, 11 billion unlocks in it, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Like, all the different colors and art and music and, like, everything. So I always was pretty impressed with that.
Or the go-kart game. And
yeah. Dungeon Buster in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Genesis with the blood code. Oh, remember how epic that was when the blood code came out for the Genesis? That you could actually enable the blood, because the Super Nintendo. I had the Super
sweat.
Nintendo. Yeah, the Super
well,
Nintendo
that's
version
what the
with
Game
the sweat
Genie is for. You could change it with the Game Genie.
You could change the color, but you could not suddenly change Sub-Zero's fatality back. Like that. That those sprites with the severed heads and stuff, they were just not in the cartridge.
Right.
So you could not re-enable the original fatalities. It just was not in the programming at all. So. Unfortunately, the newer fatalities are always really lame. Like, didn't Johnny Cage's just become, like, an uppercut? And that was, like, the fatality? I don't even remember. Like, Sub-Zero froze the guy, and then it shattered into ice cubes. Which I guess that's still kind of violent, but you have to kind of infer a lot of the violence. But for some reason, they left Sonya's the same. Sonya and Scorpion, they never changed. Because theirs wasn't blood, it was fire. And setting somebody on fire was fine. It was this weird Nintendo logic in the 90s where as long as you don't see blood, it's fine. But if somebody is, you know, vaporized, then you don't see blood, so it's fine. So, and then they changed. What else did they change? They changed, like, what was the other really violent one in that game? Like Kano used to rip out the heart, right? So instead, it just looked like Kano did a tummy tickle and they died because there would be no heart.
Titty twister.
Titty twister. all right. Well, sadly, the phones aren't lighting up. I guess people feel that they cannot follow Julian tonight, which I don't blame them. He's a pretty hard act to follow. And also, I think Raginator's not here tonight. I hope he's okay. He usually calls in right away, but I don't even see him in chat tonight.
He left earlier.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, anyhow, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show this week. We really appreciate it. But I think that's going to do it. We'll be back here in 7 days, do it all again. As we get closer to Halloween, we can talk a little more about scary games. Maybe we'll stream some more or something like that. But for now, we're going to leave you with this message. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if those voices are out there to be heard.
See, now is when you need to like stream all... They need more scary games for PlayStation VR. Well, I guess they have... I mean, Rush of Blood's all right. I mean, but like...
I don't need to play scary games
in VR. Oh, Rush of Blood is awesome. That is like my favorite PlayStation VR game. Although I still have to go... I just don't want to set it up. I still need to go and play Super Hot. Because I have Super Hot VR. Okay, I got to make a point this week to play Super Hot VR.
That game was... I liked watching Bobby and his friends play that game. Because they had that... At Dragon Con, Bobby set that all up in the suite.
That looks awesome, yeah. But I know there's more VR games coming soon. I have to kind of check in there and see what they have available now. But yeah, we need more scary games on there. Like I know that they have on Oculus or Vive or something like that. It was the like a room with I forget what it was like a chair in a room or something like that. I forget what it's called. Something simple like that where you're sitting on a chair and creepy shit happens and.
Oh, you know, yeah, it was like Resident Evil 7.
No, not that one. No, it's like literally called like Room with a Chair or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it's called.
Well, anyway.
I don't know.
Speaking of Dragon Con, because I mentioned that a minute ago, y'all make plans for Dragon Con next year. It's going to be awesome because it's not just like I'll be there, of course. Bobby Blackwolf will be there. But guess what? Travis Donovan's coming back next year. I knew he wouldn't stay gone forever, and I'm so happy that he'll be back. Next year he's making his plans to do that, so that's really exciting. So Dragon Con 2018, make it happen.
Oh,
you guys,
oh, there is another game I saw you should actually pick up on. It's done by one of my favorite favorite developers that does like Cluster Truck and all that stuff. But they did a new stick fighting game. So it's like two stick figures and you're fighting, but it's like the levels keep getting crazier and crazier as you go along. And it's like $5 on Steam right now. I think it's like Stick Wars or something like that. But definitely check it out. It's by Landfall Games.
Okay.
And I watched a stream of that, and it looked hilarious. It would be totally a game that I think you guys would dig.
All right.
I think it's on my wish list.
Well, let's get final thoughts, and then we're going to call it a night here at the Voice Geeks Network. Loki, your final thought tonight.
Yeah, Stick Fight the Game was the name of that. My final thought is, sorry, haven't been working on programming, because unfortunately I am knee-deep in fucking Lego addiction, so I don't know what to do. I gotta go through this phase, and then we'll see how that happens. It's not going to get better, though. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
And then my final thought is, sorry, I haven't been streaming because of psychological online game addiction. So, but I'm going to do a stream tonight, so stay tuned for that. I'll tell you more about that after the credits here. But for everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back to do it in 7 days. Thank you so much for supporting Orange Lounge Radio. We love you. Happy gaming. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.